This is PFW in progress.
Is she looking at me now? No. How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe even a Glengown. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
FNG, Mike Parenti.
Your money? You know what else? You're a big winner tonight. I'm going to ask you a simple question. I want you to listen to me. Who's the big winner here tonight at the casino? Huh? Mikey, that's who. Mikey's the big winner. Mikey wins.
And you never know who else might stop by. PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
All right, we're all grown up here. This is the grown-up show for grown-ups that aren't adults. No, this is PFW in progress, and we're all here except Paul.
He's at practice.
Yep. Paul is at practice, and he'll be back soon.
He'll be giving
with
us a scintillating practice report.
Right. Well, you're one to talk.
He's got a lot to live up to.
I mean,
what would you rather be called?
You're what's that? Your reports were sponsored by Ambien. So. Anyway, we're here, PFW in progress. Paul is at practice. Mike Parenti, Andy Hart, Eric the Leg Scalavino.
Breaking news out of the locker room,
Fred Kirsch, and Gary in the booth.
Breaking news out of the locker room.
Really? Yes. I hope it's not Brady's foot.
Well, that's a separate issue. His dad says he was not made aware that it is broken. Okay. Did you see that today in the papers?
Yes.
Senior Brady talked to both
says
the Herald and the Globe.
Ready to go.
Bill Belichick said he's ready to go in his conference call with the Kansas City media.
Surprisingly forthright.
Yes. I mean,
unless he's not ready to go and he's just throwing up a smokescreen.
He really lies on the record that much. But some new faces in the locker room. Reggie Hodges.
Punter.
Not the three-pointer guy from the Bulls. Reggie Hodges, punter. Looks like he's on the practice squad. Looks like Tyson DeVries' locker was removed. There's been no release as of yet. But, you know, just based on our time in the locker room.
Well, actually, that Posiak character didn't seem to have a locker either.
But he was on the active roster.
Right, but he didn't seem to have a locker.
Yeah, because Stephen Spock was also in the locker room, and he was removed 2 days ago.
Okay, more
when
speculation.
When you claim a guy, when you claim a guy off waivers, he must spend 2 business days on your active roster. So, Posiak got here, what day is today? He got here Tuesday. Wednesday. So he was here 2 days, so they could release him if they wanted to after claiming him from the Jets. So it's possible he's gone and Spock is back, but I certainly saw Spock putting on pads and heading out to practice. Mm-hmm. And I certainly saw Hodges in the locker room putting on pads to go out to practice. He's a rookie, so my guess is he's on the practice squad because Chris Hansen was still in the locker room. But it looks like these are the moves that Belichick's been talking about all week, more moves as the week goes on.
They would
on.
Have to make a move on the practice squad, too, because they had 8 as of yesterday.
DeVries.
Right. Okay.
Listening.
I forgot about him.
He was probably going to release at about 7 o'clock. So we'll just wait on that.
Right.
But so we will most likely get a release after practice at some point.
And we were right, I'm sure.
We always are.
I mean, it's not that hard to piece together.
But nothing really affecting game day this.
No,
Sunday.
Nothing that anybody really cares about. Actually,
Right. It's not like C.J. Jones was cut.
Right.
Well, that'd be a big hit for the punt return game. But if
although, will we
route,
see Delta
fine.
O'Neal take some reps on Sunday? You think?
I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah,
defensively.
He goes maybe.
Are we talking special teams?
No, I think defensively.
No, he'll.
Oh, I thought you meant on like punt returns.
No, I'm Nickel talking
coverage.
About as. You know.
I think he could play on special. I mean, on defense. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sub defense.
You put him on.
But I also don't think Delta O'Neal is any great I mean, I think there's a chance he plays for a month and is cut or plays for 2 weeks. I mean, I don't.
You don't think he's an upgrade from Fernando Bryan?
I don't think he's that much better or worse.
I don't think he's any different than Fernando Bryan.
Right. I think they're in a similar class, a former first-round pick who's never been as good as he was, I mean, was supposed to be. The one thing I would say in Bryan's favor is at least he's basically been a starter whenever he's healthy, whether it was Jacksonville or Detroit. Delph O'Neal lost his jobs in Denver and then lost it in Cincinnati. Yeah. So
they're both reclamation projects, basically.
Right.
You took a gamble on both guys, and so you run that risk of neither guy working out.
But that's why I think it could work out the same way. You give O'Neal his chances and then send him packing.
I still think by late in the year,
it's going to be all or virtually all Wheatley taking the reps opposite Hobbs, and I think there's a chance Will Hite is getting reps. I think they've gone with a youth movement. They got two guys they liked that seem to be around the ball in training camp when healthy, and I think they're going to let them have their lumps and see what they have.
And then you got Merriweather and Harrison side by side at safety.
Sanders.
Oh, don't forget Sanders.
Sanders is the starter.
That's true. Yeah.
Everybody likes to forget him, but he is the starter. Brandon Merriweather has
the quiet
never...
quiet man. People forget James
That's
Sanders.
True.
Brandon Merriweather has never started a game at safety.
I think he will this
His season. Only career start was the Super Bowl as a nickelback, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
he's never started a regular season game.
Well, no. Do you say that because of injury or because you
think he'll earn it? Yeah.
Really?
Over Sanders?
I think so.
I think James Sanders is the most disrespected player on this team.
That's a good case.
I think you might be right. Now, I don't know if it's disrespect or kind of goes unnoticed.
Now, that said, I think he had a terrible preseason.
Well, he goes run over at one point. He doesn't have a lot of big statistical plays.
Right. But he's also playing out of position. In theory, he's supposed to be a strong safety.
Yes.
And in the box, tackler, that kind of guy. He's been forced to play
deep
a lot because I know they play split and right and left, but oftentimes I see Rodney Harrison at the line of scrimmage doing things and James Sanders 25 yards downfield.
Well, Harrison's
that's not
the better,
his game.
Harrison's the better player right now at the line of scrimmage. You would rather have Harrison there
right,
than Sanders.
Right, but my point
but
is
maybe in due time,
Sanders is better suited to be at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, if he's the heir apparent to Harrison, then when that role reverses, then Sanders will be the guy up front and then the next guy they bring in will be the guy playing deep.
And I actually don't think, based on what I've seen, I think Merriweather and Sanders could be a decent combination playing together.
Maybe Merriweather could be the deep guy.
Yeah, I think he is the more athletic guy. You know, he plays in the slot for them, took reps at cornerback, so clearly his pass coverage skills are supposed to be better than the average safety.
Should be superior to Sanders,
better than the average safety.
All right. So we'll be here until 2 o'clock. Today is Thursday, and it is the beginning of the season. Tonight we have the Redskins and Giants playing.
The Washington Fredskins.
Yeah. So,
nice.
Has him in the Super Bowl, and their coach, Jim Zorn, unproven.
That's right.
You know how he got the head coaching job, right? Just to make sure.
Well, I forget. He was supposed to get it, and then he didn't get it, and then
no,
he
was
it.
Hired as the offensive coordinator. Everybody else, they couldn't get anybody else to take the job, so they, once he was already in the building employed, they re-interviewed him for the head coaching job and gave it to
what
him.
What a story it's going to be, anyway.
Debacle.
Oh, what God. A story it's going to be. So, we've got that game tonight, which means today is our first day of doing our picks, which we'll do in our second hour. Paul will be back. Last year I won that.
Pick a winner.
So,
Yeah. Huh?
I did.
I don't think
so. You can see there's no validity whatsoever.
Piece of information. Great.
So we'll be doing that today.
Yes, and the game starts at 7 tonight. Very
great
exciting.
Great start time tonight. Yeah.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com.
Did Conley win last year?
I don't think.
508-543-7482 is the phone number.
It's too bad the Thursday games weren't at 7 every week.
Yeah, well.
Call that number if you want to buy us lunch today.
Yeah, we're disappointed
we're
in our starved. Listeners.
Our listeners
and I'm sure our listeners
really
are disappointed in us.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we've been
apparently
getting a lot of emails.
Us
we've actually been getting a lot of emails from people upset that we're only going to be 3 days a week starting next week. And I'll get into that schedule in a second. As we know, Patriots Monday and Friday from EEI is going to be streamed live on Patriots.com radio every Monday and Friday. We, PFW Progress, will only be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So we've got a lot of emails, people saying, oh, you know, you're better than EEI, and that's great. And, you know, send all those emails to frontoffice@patriots.com. We would appreciate it.
And put the food where your mouth is.
But for all you or people that are saying, we can't even get lunch once a week now, and now you want us to go to 4 days a week, I mean, that's just not going
to
work
There's
out.
There's got to be some give and take here. We're going to have to get a little bit more if you want us.
Yeah, I mean, this is our lunch hour.
Send us appetizers.
We sacrifice our lunch hour for you, the fans.
It's true.
So we're sitting here. The only one with lunch is Eric because
I'm the only one that takes the initiative to pack a lunch.
That's true. We're
men.
Pack
some other things.
And,
I'm not
we're lazy.
Pack either.
I walked into that one.
You know, real men don't make their own lunch.
Right.
But, you know, That's okay.
That's
okay.
My new sound for that, Andy.
That is so not true, Fred.
That's not true?
Brown bagging your lunch? That's not a manly thing to do?
You have somebody make it for you.
Oh, come on.
Our homophobia has reached new heights.
Real men do whatever the hell they want to do, Fred.
That's right, Eric.
You want to be an artist. You're not. So does that mean you're not a real man?
I have no problem bringing a lunch. I just don't.
Look at you. Look at you. You're so proud.
Well, it's good when he's on your side. You know,
he's never on my side.
No, I'm on my side of this argument.
What Fred gets mad when I jump ship and start making fun of him.
So, all right. So we've got that to take care of. So let's talk about the schedule. Next week, regular season schedule, Patriots Monday, starting at 6 a.m., going all day. Brady, 8 a.m. They start at 6.
But they don't talk. But they talk politics and baseball until 8 o'clock when they have Brady and Boomer on.
Well, last week they had Brady on at 6:15 in the morning.
And they replayed him in the 8 o'clock hour.
Right. I love these truly in-progress arguments about like actual events that are being
anyway,
decided upon.
Anyway, okay, so Patriots Monday, 8 o'clock, Brady live, Belichick live at the 5 o'clock hour. You got players throughout the day. It's really not that bad, and you know it's good that you get to hear that because a lot of news does.
It's really not bad.
No, because I'm just I'm talking to the people who send us the emails that said we don't want to hear that because player interviews stink. The player interviews on Patriots Monday often do end up being newsworthy stories.
Oh, how many times are they quoted? Because
yeah.
you get limited access to Brady, and he says something with Dennis and Callahan that basically then gets reported in every newspaper and website around the country.
Right, so here at Live on Patriots.com radio, then you got Belichick, and he's more open, I think, with that crew than he is with the general media.
Clearly.
So it's really worth listening to on Monday. Then you've got us Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 12 to 2. From 2 to 4, you got Rook and Eric. Checkmate. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That's inaccurate.
What? It's not called it Checkmate?
No, it's.
What did
don't,
I have?
Don't start messing with the fans, Fred.
But you have the show from 2 to 4.
Correct.
With Rook. Now, on what day? Thursdays from 4 to 5, you're going to have Brian Lowe, Fantasy Lowdown.
Yes.
He's going to be hosting a show on Thursdays from 4 to 5 called the Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe. And then we're looking at a show with Brian Morey and Andre Tippett.
Everyone around the country just went, no.
Basically about, you know, they'll have alumni guests talking about games, also talking about what's going on today. But it's kind of centered around the hall at Patriot Place and, you know, nostalgia and things
today's
like
topic,
that.
Today's topic, how great is the Hall of Fame?
Right. So,
tomorrow's topic, how greater is the Hall of Fame?
So that's going to be on Tuesdays from 4 to 5.
Okay.
And Gary doesn't know this, but we might have a special show beyond that we're still working on.
Cool.
Involving who?
Okay. Now, other news. The PFW TV show. I have to let people know about this. We were going to be on Comcast this year. Somehow, that deal is out the table. I have no idea what happened.
It's off it, too.
Out the table.
It's off the table.
Might be out the window.
Out the window, off the table. It's gone. There's no PFW show on Comcast. We are back on New England Cable News Neckin. So that'll be filmed on Tuesdays and airing on Tuesday nights at 11, just as it did last year.
Beyond our control as well.
Beyond our control.
Decisions made well above our head.
Right.
Because I know some of our listeners were excited because Comcast is more widely available. And they were
on the satellite.
They were thinking they were going to see us. Unfortunately, they won't, I'm sure.
Well, I'm going to effort getting a tape of the show so that we can upload it to Patriots.com at the very least.
We should effort to do that.
Yes.
I like that's the sounds of that.
So, but that is not, you know, I mean, we're happy to be on Neckin, but we were looking forward to doing a show with Felger, too, because that would have been
bombastic.
Pretty good.
That would have been a lot of fun.
That would have flamed up.
So we have no idea what happened with that as well.
And before we go to the phone calls, we should also mention the general change of schedule moving forward for regular season weeks dealing with Bill Belichick media availability. Bill Belichick will now be doing a Tuesday conference call. Generally, there was nothing on Tuesdays, so Patriots.com will have the conference call. But there won't be a Bill Belichick press conference anymore on Thursdays. There will simply be player availability. So a little bit change in the week there for people that tune into his press conference.
Right, so why don't you go over that again for those people who like to listen or watch Bill Belichick live on Patriots.com or download the press conferences. Give the full weekly in-season press conference schedule for Belichick?
Monday in general is a Belichick press conference and player availability sometimes, sometimes no player availability. It kind of
more times not.
Right. Though. It kind of morphs as the season
the
goes
end of the
on.
Year, there's yes. less player availability.
Tuesday will now be a conference call that I think is tentatively scheduled to be noon every Tuesday.
Like 12:15.
So during our show, we won't carry it live, but we'll monitor that call, bring you any news. It'll be available on Patriots.com. Then Wednesdays will be still sort of the big media day where you have the opposing player conference calls, you have a Belichick press conference, you have open locker room. My guess is you're going to still have Tom Brady on Wednesdays, even though this week it was a little bit altered. Thursday, then, will just be player availability here at Gillette Stadium, so you'll get your updates, some quotes out of the locker room. Then Friday is going to be Bill Belichick. It looks like it's going to be alternating coordinators between Josh McDaniels, who's going to be this week, Dean Pease, and then you'll have, obviously, player availability in the locker room. And then the normal post-game stuff with Bill Belichick doing his press conference. So we'll have you covered on everything that's available, but it'll just be tweaked a little in terms of the schedule.
Well, Josh says, go F yourselves. You guys didn't consult anyone who has ever bought you lunch when trimming down your schedule. You cut back, and we all cut back.
We're adding a day.
You take back one day of PFW in progress, and we take away lunches on most days. Oh. There's your give and take. Also, I was going to buy a PFW in progress t-shirt, but made a $30 donation to the Obama campaign and all your names instead.
Boo. Loser.
Thank you.
Boo. You are not one of our favorite
persona
listeners
non
anymore.
Grata
well,
around here,
if you know, front office at Patriots.com should be where you give
your opinions.
And we don't make any decisions. We just show up and do what we're told.
Right. And there's no sense of having...
So what about your credit card and buy us lunch?
There's no sense in having two shows that simultaneously come emanating from Gillette Stadium. It just doesn't make sense.
No, it's not necessary.
You know.
And let's be honest. As much as I like what we have to say, when players talk, fans like to hear them talk. And
except for these, obviously. I mean, every email I've gotten is that they don't like them.
Now, in my mind, our show, if you gave us the availability to those players, would be tremendous. We'd be way better than anything EEI could put out, but we're not given that option.
Maybe someday.
No, we're not slurping people, that's why. That's
Whoa.
The difference.
We
Whoa.
End up with Wes Welker on here and Matt Castle, and it's funny stuff.
It's
they get Logan
comedy.
Mankins going, yeah, we might try to get the ground game going this week. I think so, yeah.
Josh writes in, Dante Culpepper has retired and remind Andy to do his fantasy football league. That is all. Eric is a homo.
I set my.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that.
That's nice of you to Culpepper
officially retired.
You know, see now.
Dante Culpepper actually emailed in, asked PFW last week, asking for a chance with his team. He said he had watched a few of the preseason games and thought we could use his services. And I told him kindly we didn't need his services.
Right. I did see that.
But you were the straw that broke the camel's back.
Excuse me?
You were the straw that broke the camel.
Yeah, he
back.
Said, if Andy Hart doesn't think I have it anymore, I'm just going to call it a career. And for the record, I updated my lineup this morning on my crappy team for that league. Boy, did I get hosed by that auto-draft mechanism.
Should have showed up.
Yeah.
Halfway through like you.
At least I had a good team.
You got to show
good
up.
Players when I showed
I got Roy
up.
Dell Williams. He's on the Hart Foundation, but I don't think he's actually on a real
I already had Hushman Zada, Steve Smith, and somebody else by the time I showed up.
I got hosed. Mendenhall.
Oh, Randy Moss.
Oh,
oh! Randy by the Moss. Way, Randy Moss. First pick of the second round.
Isn't there a guy on the phone?
Oh, yeah. Gary, is he on the phone or is that just a message? No, it's just a message. Chris from the Bronx
is
stepping up.
Nice.
Our favorite listener and not some loser who sends... First of all, if you're going to send a contribution, shouldn't you ask us who you want us to send
I've
it
met
to?
Chris from the Bronx.
Let
me tell you, Chris from the Bronx went to Columbia and Yale. I don't know what he's doing listening to this show.
We have a lot of
my
very intelligent
guy,
listeners. We don't need to pretend that
was
they're
this
all
the
idiots.
Guy that also fought for my job?
Yes.
And you foolishly hired me instead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we not blow the lunch? He's sending lunch. Let's not start bringing up sore topics. Yeah.
All right.
And the other thing
Fred
is...
Fred did him a favor by not hiring him.
I hate Obama, and I don't want my name associated with a contribution to his campaign.
You hate him.
Yes. Hate him, personally.
I second that hatred.
I think he
Started
is a...
Started in January. We're going to lay
like
more
her.
Pipe.
Pipelines.
Did she really say that?
Pipelines,
nice.
She said.
That's great stuff.
Pipelines.
She'll fit right in on this show.
Yeah.
I don't hate the man, but I don't want my name associated
I hate him.
With him.
He's
I don't
a,
hate the man. I pity the fool.
You should like
I pity the fool.
Because he's like you. He's as pompous as any individual on
We're
the
We're going to lay more pipe.
And he's a lot like you. He's pompous and has never done anything.
Well, get used to him because he's going to be your president
Obama.
For the next 4 years.
No, he won't be. I
no,
guarantee
he's
it.
Not. No
you. You want to bet? Want to bet a lunch on it?
I don't need to bet on it.
I'll buy a staff lunch.
You don't want to bet on it because you'll lose.
A staff lunch for this show.
No.
I guarantee
it's
you
okay.
It's a pretty impressive win for McCain.
Step up to the table.
It won't
Fred.
Even be close. Won't even be close.
All right.
Okay. No chance.
Anyway, this is
Fred's going to get upset.
Obama.
This isn't politics. People didn't tune in to listen to your views or my views or
Dennis O'Callaghan.
Right.
Speaking of Barack Obama.
So web radio at patriots.com. What else do we have? We got getting ready for the Kansas City Chiefs. 16.5-point favorite. They were installed at the beginning of the week. Has that shifted at all?
I don't believe so.
With the Brady news?
And a little high.
We need to discuss this.
Playing, that's a little high.
I try to use some of our coworkers upstairs who are super fans as a barometer for quote-unquote super fans of Patriots Nation. Chris, computer monkey Ferrieria.
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
Thinks the Chiefs have a legitimate shot to win this game, Fred.
Yeah, he was making a strong case against
yes.
this morning.
I he goes, strong what case. If Larry Johnson comes case. Out against this defense that looks so bad and rushes for 200 yards?
Well, in fairness, if he rushes for 200 yards, they've got a good chance to win the game.
I still think they
the
lose.
The probability of that happening is slim to none.
I mean, the Patriots have had lesser quarterbacks do well against them, but I just don't see it.
No, I don't see it.
I mean,
either.
The offensive starting line isn't what it used to be.
I'd like
I mean,
to just,
and that was their strength.
Yes.
You know,
10 rookies.
I'd like to isolate one matchup on that offensive line. Brandon Albert, first-round pick, guard at the University of Virginia, played, I believe, like two snaps of left tackle, but because he has great feet and is an athlete, blah, blah,
allegedly.
Blah, is an NFL left tackle who's going to start for the Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday in all likelihood. Who's he going to start opposite?
Which side is he on? Left tackle?
Left tackle.
Left tackle.
Richard Seymour and Adalys Thomas.
Yeah. Good luck.
If they don't have an absolute field day with Brandon Albert, then you're in for a terribly long season and jump off the bridge. But my guess is Richard Seymour is going to kill him. Adalys Thomas is going to run by him. And Brody Coyle is going to get broken in half.
And he was a guard who was drafted way higher than he should
Ridiculous.
Have been.
Ridiculous. And I think if you start to really break this matchup down beyond even one team's old, one team's young, one team's supposed to be good, one team isn't, I think there's just matchups where the Patriots could dominate.
I mean, it's pretty clear that Kansas City is mailed this season in. They've just about said that.
Well, it's a youth movement. I mean, they're
looking
trying
forward
to
next year and beyond.
Right.
Right. They tried to pull a minor Herschel Walker type trade. They got all the picks for Jared Allen. Didn't have to pay him the money.
Now, if Kansas City was, you know, 6-8 or, you know, going into the end of the season and they kind of showed a little bit, okay, I could see Chris saying, you know, they have a shot. But not first
not
game
the
of the
first
season.
Week. They don't even know what they have yet.
So many new faces on the road. No way.
Keep
not
in
to
mind,
mention,
Larry Johnson hasn't been good in a year and a half. He's had a foot injury.
Well, he hasn't been healthy.
His preseason was not good. He averaged like 3 points.
3.5 yards.
Now, I know it's the preseason. And
I wouldn't put too
young
much stock into that.
But to just expect him to all of a sudden come out and rush for 200 yards against.
No, in the first game, no.
I still am giving this defensive front line credit that they're not going to be horrendous.
Well,
if they get pushed around by a bunch of rookies and new fill-in starters and guys who've been around the league in various places, then, as I said, you have more problems than you could even think
about. But do we
agree
that it's a good test for both sides? A good test for this kind of new-look run defense for the Patriots against a pretty good running
back?
Well,
I think the Patriots are lucky, honestly.
Well, I actually
draw
I think it's a fifth preseason game.
No, my point is you get a good test against a Larry Johnson. He's a pretty good back who's got some versatility.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, it's a good look to see what Gerard Mayo can do against upper echelon running backs. It's a good test.
I think it's a good game for them to come out and
I don't think it's
going to
be a good game. This sort of matchup's a good test.
But will it prove anything against the Kansas City Chiefs?
If you
Unless
struggle,
they do bad.
It'll prove you stink.
But if they beat him 42-7, does that prove anything?
Not really.
No.
Well, somewhat. I mean, they couldn't get out of their own way in the preseason.
Right, but we're assuming Kansas City is just going to be the dog of the AFC.
One of the bottom five teams probably in football.
Right. So really, we kind of have to see them do really well against this team.
If they don't cover,
they should do well against this team.
I would be a little bit worried. If
they win
play
by three
all
touchdowns.
Out and don't cover, then
they should win
16
by 3
and
touchdowns.
A half? I disagree.
Well, you just said that 16 and a half was too high.
Too high just because the offense hasn't really clicked yet.
Well, we haven't seen the offense.
Two words.
Tom Brady.
And speaking of him, we did mention his dad says he's good to go. He had no knowledge of a broken anything.
He was in the
that
locker room
rumor
today.
Was actually something that was started by Chris Mortensen a few weeks ago.
Well,
and then
let's
yesterday or on EEI on Monday, you know,
they
John Dennis had this whole theory about the circle of four. Did you read that, by
no.
the way?
What's the circle
he's
of four?
He's got the circle of four on the Patriots, he claims that. This is his inside source telling him that with any player injury, only four people ever know exactly what it is. Belichick, the doctor, the trainer, and the player. Now, he fails to say that there's many trainers and many doctors on this team, but
well,
that's what he's saying. So even if Brady had a broken foot, only four people in the world would know what the exact injury is.
I think that's probably true.
Oh, I think other trainers know.
But other you're players getting caught up in know. A Fred Kirsch-like technicality, exactly what the injury is, the exact nature of it.
Well, if you're a trainer and you're treating Tom Brady, don't you need to know what the injury is? So that you can treat it correctly?
Yes, sort of, but...
What?
No, yes, you do need to
yes,
know
you do.
Not really.
No, sort of.
Because if Jim Whalen comes to me as an assistant trainer and says, I need you to do a deep massage on that for 10 minutes, then do ultrasound for 15, and ice it for 20...
Who's telling him to do that?
Jim Whalen. Oh, I just said, if Jim Whalen goes to an assistant and maps those three things out, I don't know the specific injury. I just know exactly what I was told to do by the head therapist here.
All right. Well,
I think that's possible. I think
that's possible. That's possible.
I think that's completely plausible that that circle of four thing could be accurate.
What's the incentive of another assistant trainer not knowing it?
It's because loose lips sink. What's the advantage of Bill Belichick not answering every question that's ever put in for him? They like to keep things tight, and certainly with injuries. I buy it. I think it's very plausible. I'm on board with John Dennis for the first time ever.
And
is it not true, then,
and
that John Dennis is accurate?
Okay, so when in the past, recent
John
past,
Dennis,
injury reports have made the Herald or the Globe, and they've been accurate, how the heck does that happen?
The doctor end.
The doctor end.
But not
it's not a player telling his dad, or it's not a player telling his... a friend.
Well, it could be that.
But that's what I'm saying. It always starts with a small group, but that's how it always goes out.
Well, yes. If any one of the four talks, then it's a bigger than four group.
Okay, so
then
it's a circle of eight and a circle of 10 and a circle of 12.
In theory, they're keeping it to a circle of four. They're not telling everybody.
I think every team does that.
But I think it's
I don't think that that's like this.
I think it's kind of impossible for...
You know, or clandestine, or whatever you want to say.
Clandestine.
It's kind of impossible for a player... not to share information about his own injury with other guys on the team.
Exactly.
It's physically impossible for four people, only four people to know it.
You
it's
guys
physically
are missing
impossible.
The part where he said the specific nature of an injury.
What the injury specifically
it's
is.
It's physically impossible.
Yeah, I think that's impossible.
I disagree.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, Paul's here.
Is this your circle of four talk?
Yeah.
If he's not in the circle of four, then how the hell does he know who's in the circle of four? Stupid.
Who's not in the circle of four?
Stupid statement. It's a dumb, idiotic useless, pointless thing to say.
I disagree
100%.
Wow.
I'm getting really pissed
off. I'm with
off
Fred.
Right now.
100%.
Wow.
Getting? I think you're already there, my man.
Wow.
I need a break.
Why are you sweating?
I
was sweating when I was outside.
My face is red here. It's warm in here.
Yeah, you are good. You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
You're going to die?
I'm all right. I'm all right, Spider.
Chris, get that resume back in.
Parenti's getting all red.
It's getting red. The circle of four.
Paul's back.
I'm with
practice.
You, Fred, on these circles.
Yeah. Lion King, the circle of life. Come on.
I buy it 100%.
Practice.
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 We're talking about practice.
Bill Belichick promised. Roster moves. More roster moves to come, and he did not lie.
Here's where we find out if we were right, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Go.
What do you got? We sort of foreshadowed this at the beginning
deduced.
Of the show.
Okay. Well, there were two moves made, one minor in nature, on the practice squad. Tyson DeVries, tight end, was let go. Reggie Hodges, a punter out of Ball State, was signed in his place. He was out there wearing number two. I know that's big in the internet circles, what number a guy's wearing.
So far, we're 100%.
Yep. He was out there working out.
I was one of the idiots in the stands yelling for Flutie.
Another what I would consider minor move on the active roster involved tight ends.
No whammy.
Involved tight end. Steven Spock is back, replacing the previous number 82, Jeff Posiak.
Yes.
PFW goes 100%. We don't need no stinking releases or sources.
So they just signed him, or claimed him, I should say, off of waivers.
Right.
And he lasted, 3 days?
Okay.
So that was the extent.
And he had
the
last
extent.
Two.
That was it?
Yeah, that
no
was the extent.
Said there was another major one.
Yeah, no, you kind of inferred that.
I said
he
said
that, by saying that there was
he
a minor
said there
one
will
first.
Be. I said that. Bill Belichick promised there would be roster moves, and he did not lie.
Big letdown.
That's what I said.
What led him astray is when you said one minor move.
I said one really minor move was on the practice squad.
So
the other one, also minor in nature, was
now,
with the tight end.
Why?
Actually, the major move is we're getting lunch today.
Oh, that's actually the biggest
Chris
news that I've heard.
Stepping up.
In terms of attendance, Freddie, same guys basically that haven't been around as of late. Kevin Fox serving the suspension.
Right.
He's not allowed to practice. Joined by Dan Conley, Benjamin Watson, Sam Aiken, and Lee Kevin Smith. That's the group that basically hasn't been out there. One interesting name, which I'm sure has some sort of explanation, Steven Gostkowski was not out there at practice, which I thought was a little odd, but we could not find him in our allotted media window
time.
Has
this Ball State kicker also place kicked?
I don't know a whole lot about him. Reggie Hodges is the gentleman's name.
Okay. You worried about Watson a little bit? It's been a while since
I saw Watson, today.
I'm
actually
worried about him every year. Every year.
You know, I heard a show
last
night.
He'll miss half the season with an injury? Because I just assume that's Ben Watson.
I heard a show last night saying it looked like he had kicked that injury label, and now are you concerned? And I was like, when exactly did he kick that injury label?
And when he kicked it, it hurt him.
That's always been the knock on Benjamin Watson is he, you know, hasn't been able to be durable and stay on the field.
I'm just looking for one
that
game
he can't
I'm
catch.
Saying, is he going to play?
This was an aside for that comment that I heard last night.
Wes Welker was out there?
Wes Welker was out there, Freddie.
In uniform?
Yeah, I should add that they were in shorts today with the under shells.
Okay, shorts and shells.
Practice.
Well, you know, they haven't gotten rid of those. They're in the back room somewhere.
No. So... Now, why would they?
That's pretty much the long and short of the practice
Brady
update.
Looking all
Brady
right.
was out there moving around as he has been for every other practice.
Okay.
Why would they make a move like at tight end? They had Spock. He made the team initially. They cut him. They pick up the Posiak kid from the Jets for 2 days. They cut him and bring back Spock. Why not just leave Spock alone?
Well, because they wanted to see what Posiak was.
They gave him a 2 day tryout.
They used that as a tryout, is what they did.
Yeah.
And then,
but
I mean,
you had to. I mean, you claimed him, so. You had to.
No, I think Eric's point is why did they claim him in the first place?
Yeah.
But I guess it's just a tryout. And it's
nothing, because they had.
I don't think there's anything more sophisticated than that.
Right. They had a little bit of interest, to see what he had, and then said, well, he's definitely not better than Spock. And you go back and
you go to the guy. You go back with the guy who already knows your system and whatnot.
Just curious.
A little bit of confusion at tight end.
Yeah, no, I think it's a little bit curious, Eric. I agree with you.
Because it's not like a. You know, like maybe a former Pro Bowl tight end, and they wanted to say, "Oh, maybe he's got something left." It's just some
no, but
guy.
They couldn't try him out. That he maybe they didn't think he'd clear waivers, and they wanted to have a chance. They, you know, they had enough interest, and they had enough faith, probably, that Steven Spock, when released, would still be available 2 days later to pick up.
Maybe all signs aren't pointing to a tight end explosion after all.
some of us didn't think they were when that story came out.
Josh Morgan writes in, no way the Patriots cover on Sunday. Croyle will burn our secondary. LJ will get over 100 yards. Bank on it. Paul, 16.5 points. Is that a good spread?
I think it's a little high.
A little high.
They win by 21.
We'll get to the prediction portion later in the program, right?
Right.
But, I mean, you guys feel it's a little high?
No.
Yes. For opening day?
I think it's a little high, but if they don't cover...
Well,
I would be concerned.
I'm with Andy. I if they don't cover, I'm concerned about this team. Given all the new faces on Kansas City, on the road, first game of the season, you know,
I would be a lot more concerned if they weren't covering that number, say, week 8, than I would be week 1. I understand both of your points.
Yeah.
But, if they win the game, 27-13 or something like that,
No concern for you.
Yeah, man, okay. That's not
it
really
could look very dominant winning a game by 15 points instead of 16.
Right.
That's,
and a half.
Yeah, I guess that's what I meant.
Yeah. Defense. You want to see defense keep them under 14 points, right?
And
I don't think they can look very dominant without, because you're still going to count on the offense to score points. I don't have this belief that this defense is suddenly going to be great and they're going to go back to, as you said the other day, the 2003, where they can win a game 10-3
and look
and you say, wow, that was the most dominant 10-3 victory ever. I think this team is going to need to score.
Well, that was the year
not
when the 500 whole
points,
it's over
but
started. The nod.
Right.
I think 2003 was
dominant.
The year when you started.
You might be right.
You know, because they'd score a field goal. They'd
it's
stop
over.
The other team a couple times in the first quarter. And you say, it's over.
I now think they are, when they go up 14 points with a couple offensive big plays drives, now that's when you say they're over. That's what they are now, is an offensive-led team. I'm not suddenly buying that they're going to be great.
I agree that they're an offensively-led team. I just don't think that I think you can easily win a game by a couple of scores and be dominant and have the game not be in question.
Absolutely.
And I think that's probably what's going to happen this week. I just don't know if it's going to be like last year. I think last year was the exception because they were so good offensively and so dominant. Like you said, Andy, 14-0 first quarter, game over. Because you knew that machine was just rolling. I don't know if we're going to see that coming right out of the chute with Brady, you know, at least – conceivably having to shake off a little bit of rust. Right. He is human.
But it's incredibly exciting, the beginning of every season, and this season.
Especially for you, Fred. That's the thing I admire most about Fred is that boyish enthusiasm that he starts off every season
For people like Eric and I who actually read books, every year is, you know, opening up.
I don't even
up,
take that as a shot. That's a truism.
It's opening up a new book, and you want to see how it's going to start, and then as you go along, you want to obviously see how it's going to end, but you know,
year and
it's
a half
like,
later, Eric finishes
it's like opening the cover of a new book every year, and you have no idea really how it's going to turn out. You know, I don't have any.
You know, I think I do, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, to see anything this year.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, come on.
You won't
now.
Be surprised if they're a 7-9 football team?
Right, right.
Well, I think I'll be disappointed, but we see signs of that. We'll point to now things that we saw.
7-9.
I know what you're saying, Fred, but you're going to be stunned.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'll be very easy if they have a bad season, like a 7-9
season,
to go back and say, hey, look, the signs were there.
Right.
But no one thinks that those signs are actually
but
foreshadowing anything that's going to happen.
Those people who say they know will use the 2020 hindsight and go and say, well, this happened and this happened and this happened. You know, anything can happen. That's my point.
But,
you know?
Well, you could point to a number of reasons why they would struggle, but the probability of all seven of those reasons occurring at the same time is what's really stunning.
A couple of those reasons make them not win by 21 points, not make them 7-9.
Anything less than 12 wins to me would be stunning,
yeah.
I think 11 and 5 would be a
given
little bit
of
a surprise.
As long as 12 is standing.
Well, that's true.
But given of difficulty of the schedule, which is not very difficult.
I think you'd have
all,
to dip around 10 to 9 or 10 for me to get to the point where I'm stunned.
Well, I want to take a break, but when we come back, you brought up a good point because it's sort of an ongoing
debate. Were talking to Andy, I assume, because you pointed to him. We're on radio.
Well, it's a debate that's been going on EEI about, you know, is it Brady or is it the Patriots? You know, some people think it's an insult to say if Brady got hurt in week one, they'd be lucky to finish 8-8. Some people look at that as an insult to Belichick and the rest of the team. Others say, if you don't say that, then it's insult to Brady. So let's talk about this when we come back.
This ball that he threw had nothing to do with his sports hernery.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination. Featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a 4-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Reds! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Reds have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
August 13th, 2008. Hubba Bubba. safety slash wide receiver Ray Ventrone came up with the play of the day on a diving catch over the middle on a pass from Matt Castle. Despite being sandwiched by linebacker Jerron Mayo and safety Brandon Merriweather. Yes, folks, there was mayo in the sandwich. Bada bing!
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
Where's Tugender from? Is he from either Ohio or Pennsylvania?
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York. I knew he's in the Rust Belt.
He
said middle. Instead of middle.
Fred, we have found his calling.
What's that?
The blog readings.
I don't think it's so good.
Finally.
You don't think it's that good?
No, it's funny. It's very funny.
For an intern, it's not bad.
I would like him, though, to say who actually wrote the blog entry.
That was my entry.
That was Mike's. Yeah.
Okay. That was the king about it.
There's a reason we don't.
Oh, really?
That will be revealed at some point.
Oh. Oh, a little, little entry.
You can kind of tell by the writing, though. Like the bada bing, clearly. That's a Michaelism.
That with the gold chain hanging out and too much of your chest showing right now?
Yeah, Fred. The Coke spoon has to go, though.
Fred, you've got
there's never too much of my chest.
You've got
Pepsi spoon, Fred.
You've got the chest V showing again, but you don't wear the gold chain.
I don't wear. I'm not a jewelry guy.
Hmm.
But
you think showing us
off your
that.
Wrist.
My watch? I actually need a link taken out of that. So I'm losing weight.
Good for you, Fred.
I am not, by the way. I stepped on the scale in the locker room today. I am not losing weight.
Is that laugh I heard?
It's a little concerning.
Well, were you going to say something, Eric?
Well, you can just gain the weight that Fred's losing. It all evens out.
Yeah, that's true.
The charter will remain.
I can live with that, Michael, because I can live with staying just the same.
you don't wear the jewelry, but you think that the showing us the considerable chest
look,
there is a good
look,
idea?
Considerable
if I look, honestly, the reason I do that, if I button this button,
you're just
it
fine.
It pulls. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable.
Lose weight.
Exactly. I
it's
had this
your girth.
I have broad shoulders, okay? These shirts aren't meant for people
with
broad
first of all,
shoulders.
Some
with
shirts
fat
have
ass
strange
like that,
separations
that
of buttons, Fred.
What is that body rubble? What an
The spacing of the buttons are incorrect.
See, with this shirt right here, two buttons is
I'm not arguing with you.
That's a good spacing.
That's this. See right here? You button this top button. Good. It looks like Tiger Woods, and you don't want that.
And by the way, Eric.
Yeah,
Eric.
Your shirt is unbuttoned, too. It's just that you're
but
so
I don't
thin,
have
it. It doesn't spread out.
Well, that's the whole point.
I can't help it. I have very, very broad shoulders.
I don't think it's the shoulders that's the problem, Fred.
Large breasts.
What are you trying to say?
Some of us do lateral raises, and we work our shoulders, okay?
But you excuse say it's us. Uncomfortable for you to have it buttoned.
Yes.
It's uncomfortable for us to see you have it unbuttoned.
Oh, why? You don't like chest hair? Does that bother you?
Doesn't bother
you. You like your men shaved?
Save that one.
I mean, I can bring in the man groomer if you want.
Well,
you
no,
don't use
that's
that
okay.
anymore? I do.
You only use it on the back.
Right, right.
Why is it okay to have the hairy front and you want the back shaved?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a.
Why don't you
and the Brazilian.
Yeah, what?
Why don't you shave your chest?
A little more socially
acceptable. I'm not
going to
go that crazy. I'm not Michael Phelps, for crying out loud. What's going on? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Stripper says, Pats go 10-6. Brady misses four games. My prediction.
Oh, that was a.
Stripper, how's the Oklahoma guys doing?
The comments from Senior Brady.
Yeah.
He said there's
senior
no
Brady.
No broken bone, but there was a stress in the area. Is that how he worded it?
I think so.
That's a weird way to
what
word it.
What does that mean? A stress?
Especially when everybody has
fracture.
The term
a stress,
stress
fracture,
fracture
in,
their
head.
That's what everybody kind of thinks that he had or has.
You know what? Please, everyone, just stop talking about injuries. Either he's playing or he doesn't. I don't want to hear from Brady's father. Well, I don't want to hear from John Dennis with the
But what about if
four.
He plays week one and doesn't play week three because the stress
damn
fracture
right.
gets...
I know,
but that's playing or not playing.
This
I kind
is crazy, man.
I'm with Fred, too.
I mean, it's just nuts.
Yeah,
you weren't worried
unless,
about the boot before the Super Bowl either.
Unless the team is
going
to issue a definitive, you know, what the injury is. I don't want to hear from all these sources.
No, I don't think Fred...
I just don't want to hear
correct
it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Fred, but I don't think you're saying that you don't think it's relevant.
No, I think... But we don't know.
Well, we don't know, and they're not going to tell us. So why are we going to spend so much
right.
time trying?
Because I told
either
you
he's going to play or he's not going to play.
And I was right.
And he's going to play. So enough.
Right.
He's saying. I'm not saying it's
relevant.
Not relevant.
It's,
it is
absolutely relevant.
Relevant
to know if a guy's injured. But we don't know that by listening to Tom Brady's father or John Dennis or anyone else. But
everybody thinks they
it's
know.
It's ridiculous. Or Chris Mortensen with league sources. You know, everyone's got to, you know, you.
Fred's really jacked up about this
one. It's five different injuries.
I'm just
going to
step aside.
It's ridiculous.
John Dennis calling.
It's a right foot injury.
Okay, and leave it at
that.
That's
fine. That's it.
End of story.
And you're not concerned at all?
Of course I'm concerned, but I'm not any less or more by hearing from all these idiots.
But reporters, wow, now you're calling Brady's father an idiot?
Well, with the exception of Brady Sr.
But reporters are just trying to do their job and find out as much as they can about this injury that you admit.
But they're not getting anything.
I know, but we're not getting squat on this.
We don't need six paragraphs of nothing.
It's
Tom
just
Brady
so
Senior.
Silly.
It was nothing.
It really is.
I think they're trying to do their job as best they can under the circumstances.
And if you get nothing, then you don't write anything.
Well, they didn't get anything. They had Tom Brady Sr. saying there's a stress in that area.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
Was he stressed out?
And Tom, tell your dad, stop talking to the media, please.
That would be a good idea.
And I'm sure that message has been sent from the head coach.
Well, it's not the first time.
No, he's been talking for years.
You know? Maybe you should shut up.
Maybe I should.
Since like he was two.
You know, but it's counterproductive. It really is.
Wow, are you okay now? On my left, I got Parenti yelling before the break,
crazy.
And Freddie
we
was red
spent
after.
So much time
who knew we
wondering.
Could have all this strife going on, and
I mean,
I'm not a part of any of this.
That light,
that's the biggest
we have no idea why he's been out all of preseason. I have no idea.
But he's back now.
I know why.
I know he's back. But
we sort of do.
I know why.
But it hasn't been written about
right.
What I'm saying. No one even cares.
I almost did. I thought it was out there, but Andy saved me from myself.
I saved Paul from me taking his office.
All right. Anyway, we talked before the break. Brady, if he goes down, some people think it'd be lucky if the Patriots went 8-8. Some people that think that's a knock on the rest of this team, that, you know, they have no defense, no coaching. It's all up to the quarterback. What do you think?
I think that's just an indication of how important the position of quarterback is. It's not a knock on the rest of the team, other than the center.
But teams have won with Trent Dilfers and Phil Sims and, you know.
They've
I would
won,
say
but
those cases
they won that
are,
many games.
Phil Sims got
they've
lumped
won
in
Super
there.
I was going to say, I think Phil Sims is a bit overrated, but to put him in Trent Dilfer's category.
Holy crap.
I mean,
wow.
Really.
Jeff Hostetler.
Yeah, Jeff Hostetler goes with Trent Dilfer.
Well, Jeff Hostetler won three games. He didn't play.
Yeah, they don't win that Super Bowl with Jeff Hostetler as their quarterback, period.
No.
If he had to go start to finish.
You know, Craig Morton came in and led a team to the Super Bowl. You know, there's been a lot of examples of backups coming in and doing well.
Right back to his Broncos, Andy.
That's why I was smirking.
But this guy's the best in the league, and the separation between the starter and the backup is pretty grand. Unless you have two average
quarterbacks. I think that's the biggest factor.
Unless you have two pretty average quarterbacks in your team, there's not going to be much of a drop-off if the backup comes in. In this case, there's going to be, unless you have Peyton Manning as your backup.
Your point is, if the Patriots have had this run of success with a lesser quarterback,
yes.
You would have more to go on that if he's out, somebody could step in.
Oh, yeah.
The team
is not as big a
gap. So basically, you are saying the team isn't as good.
No,
I'm not.
And the Colts weren't as good without Jordan, and the Colts aren't as good without Manning. When you lose a great player that's one of the greatest of all time at his job,
at a position,
you obviously aren't as good.
And the team is structured in a manner in which they rely heavily on the quarterback. That doesn't mean that they're not good. It doesn't mean Randy Moss is any less of a player.
If that's disrespect, then I have to be disrespectful.
Yeah, I guess everybody's
disrespectful. The Celtics weren't as good if Bill Russell didn't play, or Larry Bird didn't play, or Kevin Garnett didn't. Every sport, there are superstars. There are great players. That's why there's Halls of Fame.
So those teams that do succeed when their quarterback goes out just didn't structure their team around the quarterback.
Well, like Baltimore is the one that everybody uses for the example. Wouldn't you agree that that team was not reliant in any way on a quarterback?
It won on defense.
Right.
But they didn't even go in thinking they were relying on a quarterback.
But as well as, you know, Tampa Bay. They won with defense.
And maybe if Belichick knew that Brady was going to be out, he could sit there and sort of rework things on the fly and redo things. Maybe we'd be surprised. I don't know.
Now, if the Ravens or the Bucs, for example, lost, you know, a Ray Lewis or a Derek Brooks or one of their star guys on defense, that could have changed the whole scenario for that season for them too. Because now the player that they're relying most on—that's
a good point—is
out, and that affects the rest of the team because they weren't relying on the rest of the team to do what those guys were doing.
In some cases, that might be true. I think on defense. You know, you lose one guy, you can cover it up a little bit. It's different than losing.
But you're
the
using the you're
right.
using the
but
the focal point of your team. That's what they're built on. And Ray Lewis in his prime, 2000.
Yeah, when
that's
the
focal
Super Bowl.
Point of that team is Ray Lewis. If you took him out of the equation,
that's a different.
My
defense.
Guess is they probably wouldn't have won with Trent Dilfer as the quarterback.
But Fred, to some degree, I do believe that if this team can only score about 19, 20 points a game, the defense is not good enough to get them to 13-3. If that's disrespectful, that's just my take on it.
I also think Brady is responsible, and I'm not saying single-handedly responsible. That's not what I'm not going that far, but how many times do games hang in the balance and he just comes through?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen it time and time again to the point where it doesn't even surprise anybody anymore. You run out of superlatives.
Well, the margin between good
those are the plays that you have to make.
The margin between good and bad teams in this league is not very big. So you have to rely on certain players who are considered either the best at their position.
Difference makers.
Or exactly. Yeah.
You just said,
so
Andy,
if you lose a guy like Brady or Manning, who's considered one of the best of all time, let alone at the best at their position now, that's going to have an effect on the rest of your team.
You just made the point about you almost come to expect it. It was to the point in the Super Bowl.
That's what I was thinking about.
35 seconds left. They're on their own, what, 15-yard line or 10?
Here's where he does it again.
Everybody was expecting him to get them in field goal range.
Right. For some reason, he starts chucking it.
And then, you know, for some reason, they threw four bombs. And, well, tried to. Anyway, he got sacked on one of them. But.
All right. It's almost one. Let me get to some emails really quickly before we get into the picks after the 1 o'clock hour. Natalie in Pennsylvania writes in, I've been listening for a few years, always had plans to write in, but never got around to it until now, when things became important enough to do so. First, a quick rundown of previous thoughts I would have shared. Eric and Fred are my favorites on the show. Please do not send Eric to Rook's show, or if you do, keep him on PFW in Progress too. Eric, you won't get any gay jokes from me. In my experience, it's the latent homosexuals who talk about it the most.
Like,
right?
Andy Hart.
That's right. The running theory around here. Me and
excellent
Cartman,
point.
Gay.
Who was that from Pennsylvania?
Natalie. Nice. Andy
good
has
point, lesbian. Natalie.
Andy
well,
has
she's all over it. She's
Andy has the
it.
Best voice, and is great cool. to listen to when he's not ragging on Eric or talking about
Natalie
his bodily
now.
Functions. Though I'd never tell you to stop talking about that kind of stuff in general.
Oh, I like
the
you.
Bathroom wipes conversation was one of the best ever.
Thank you, Natalie.
Mike, welcome to the show. You are a wonderful replacement. I'm highly amused by your opinions, but your sound levels suck. I am constantly turning up the volume on my iPod to the maximum for one show and then getting my eardrums blasted when the next one starts. There's more variation between, say, the roster report or training camp cast and the PFW in Progress than there is within the show. But even then, when Andy gets too close to the microphone, I'm another year closer to hearing aids. Now for the reason I'm writing, please go back to 4 days a week. I used to have trouble keeping up with the podcast, and now I go days without being able to listen. This other crap that you've got instead is bogus. I don't like player interviews. They say the same no-brainer stuff every damn time. We know they don't look back. We know they can always improve. Do we have to listen to 2 hours of this? Even when you guys go off topic, at least you're interesting. I'd be satisfied with a compromise at 3 a week, but 2 is just not cutting it. Well, we are going to 3 a week, Natalie, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I hope that helps.
Well, we won't be able to do the fourth one on Friday because of EEI.
Yeah, we do not have access to our microphones.
No, but we're going to 3 a week, not
right.
2.
We're just trying to hammer home that we're not choosing to not do a show in any way.
And
right.
we actually,
yeah, we were forced out.
The twice a week in the offseason is an increase over past
That's
years.
That's right. We have
used
to look
only
at the
do
glass
one.
And see mm-hmm. it as half full. Quick side note. Because this is a rarity, it just scrolled across the bottom of NFL Network that Randy Moss live on Team Cam at some point.
Wow.
Is he really doing that?
I guess. I think that's what was alluded to earlier
on
this
Sunday?
Week.
Well,
conversation
I don't know.
I
it just said Randy Moss Team Cam and went away.
Speaking of programming notes, if you're up in the morning tomorrow, 6 o'clock, CNBC is like an all-Patriots show. Robert Kraft will be co-hosting. He'll have Belichick in the first 15 minutes. Randy Moss will be on it. Roger Goodell's going to be on it. A host of people. Patriots cheerleaders. So CNBC from like 6 to 10.
What's the angle?
What is the show?
It's opening of the NFL season.
So it's not related to like Patriot Place and
Patriot
business.
Place will be heavily
featured.
I'm sure
it would be heavily featured.
So there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on from 6 to 10 on CNBC, all live from Gillette Stadium. So get up in the morning and watch that. So it should be pretty fun.
Whereabouts are they going to be live?
They're going to be outside somewhere doing it live outside.
Does CNBC do like an NFL preview every year? I'm not really familiar.
I don't know. But, you know.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
All Patriots all the time, huh?
Yep. You got that right. Let's see. Robin in Alaska writes in, I've been watching Patriots Today, which features clips of Brady's recent interviews and press conferences. Both my wife and I thought that Brady looked a lot slimmer this year. Brady's face looked more gaunt than usual.
Gaunt?
Brady's shoulders also looked very thin compared to what I recall.
Out.
Brady's thinner look actually reminded me of Matthew Perry's initial weight loss when he became addicted to pain medication.
Let's put the brakes on him. Matthew Perry looked ridiculously skinny.
Yeah.
I think Brady
Who's
does
Matthew
look a little
Holy
thinner.
Holy speculation, Ben.
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Chandler.
Okay. And Brady's look just weight loss from inactivity, injury, or flu? Is Brady's preseason absence just turning me into a worry wart?
Could be the
And
haircut.
There isn't, in fact, any significant weight loss. Why does it seem like it takes forever for the season to start? That's Robin in Alaska.
Well, let's look at it. He came into the league as a skinny undersized frame. Worked, quote, as hard as anyone's ever worked, based on Bill Belichick and everyone else.
Yep.
And this week, this offseason, chose not to work. It would make sense if he lost some weight, lost some muscle tone.
Well, I mean, I know you're the big conspiracy theory, but...
There's
know.
No conspiracy here. I'm just
painting
the facts.
Maybe he thought he needed a little bit more ability. It was getting a little too heavy.
A little what? Ability?
More mobility. Oh.
I don't think he got too heavy.
He was never Tony Atlas to begin with.
Yeah, right. We're talking about like
he didn't lose any mobility.
2 pounds of muscle here, either direction.
As long as his arm strength is fine, I don't care. You know,
I'm just saying. I think he struggles to maintain a muscular physique in any way, and if
well,
you don't work out, you can't get.
Andy's just dying.
There's some people who can't gain that type of muscle.
An average to below average season. Incredible V shape. You know,
no.
The incredible V shape.
Remember that? Remember that kid that used to work here? You don't remember him?
That was an incredible O shape.
The sales guy that went to the Cavaliers.
Oh, not that guy.
Sean. Yeah.
No, what was his name? Yeah, Sean.
Sean Dunn.
What's the matter? You telling me to cut? Oh. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day at Patriot Place, everyone wins.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Reds! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Reds have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna here. Let me tell you about the game with the greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching a game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the Game with the Greats on October 5th at Gillette Stadium. Watch the Patriots take on the 49ers in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me and a bunch of other Patriot alumni. Guys like newly inducted Hall of Famer Andre Tippett and Patriots Hall of Famers Ben Coates, Stanley Morgan, Steve Nelson, and Steve Grogan will be there. Tickets are limited because they're only $40. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
So it's 1:45, so Eric, we do need to get your fact of the day.
My favorite class in high school, acting.
Acting?
Acting, my senior year.
They had a class in your high school for acting?
St. Paul's, they have a class for everything, Fred. The most elite prep school in the country.
Who has gone to St. Paul's that made it elite?
Pompous jerks. John Kerry, Hobie Baker. Judd Nelson from Breakfast Club.
Strippers ESPN? Ads that Don Sweeney.
That's right.
And Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
Who the f***?
Who the heck is that? God.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. You caught me with a mouthful of Papagenos, courtesy of Chris from the Bronx.
Best listener ever.
Thank you, Chris. One of these days, Chris, just one of these days.
Well,
so, nothing. That's between me and him.
He'll work here, I think is what he's saying.
Pow, right in the kisser.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Should we get right to the picks now, or do we want to wait? What do you think, Gary?
I think we get them out of the way.
We do the picks. Okay. All right, so it's week one of the NFL season. Thank God.
Get your pad ready, Paulie.
Yeah, Paul, you going to do that?
Get your popcorn ready.
Are we doing spreads this year? Everyone's looking around at each other.
I don't know.
No? Yes?
Yes.
I don't have them.
Gary's got a new soundbite in case anyone noticed.
Ping! You have them?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll do spreads. Just for
what I said about your show prep.
It just makes it a little bit more interesting, I think.
We still do the double pick, right?
Because
okay.
We blow away the straight up pick, so makes it a little tougher. Right, Paul?
That's correct, Freddy.
Okay.
All right. Well, at least most of us did.
Blow away? Is that what we're calling it these days?
We blow away the straight up. I mean, it's like ridiculous.
I've been known to struggle in the paper, just so you know.
Well,
our insider didn't always do so well.
No. That's all right.
Sorry, G.
We just had that conversation.
That's why I did that.
All right. So week one, that kicks off tonight at 7 o'clock on the NFL Network. And it's the Washington Redskins against the New York Giants.
Wait, that game's on the NFL Network?
Is it?
No, NBC.
Oh, it's not that NBC? Matters, but
oh, I'm sorry.
NBC.
Okay.
Fred
way.
Just said kicks off tonight at 7 o'clock on the NFL Network.
NBC. I wasn't really paying attention.
I thought it was, okay, NBC. And they started it earlier.
7 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, it was an 8 o'clock kickoff, right. And they moved it up for the Republican convention.
So I can see my man McCain.
As long as you don't go overtime, Fred, you should be all set to watch the end of the game, click over, watch McCain's speech.
Well, I guess, starting in January,
actually hang right
we're
going to
lay more pipe.
She's laying pipe.
All right. Washington at the Giants. Paul, what's the number in this game?
The Giants are favored by 4, Andy Hart.
The Giants are favored by 4. It's in New York. So are they not going to have all that pregame festivities?
Oh, yeah. Well, NFL Network's pregame show, I think, started about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, but I mean like the concerts and stuff.
I think so.
So like 6 o'clock or something?
Maybe earlier, yeah.
I will go with the New York football Giants. I know they had their share of injuries this week or this preseason with losing some of the guys on the defensive line. But I still think they're the better football team. I'm not sold on Jim Zorn like Fred is. Not sold on Jason Campbell. You know, he usually throws his first touchdown pass of the season. I think it's week 10, so I should have a while before he throws his first touchdown pass. I'm just not sold on the Redskins like Fred is, putting them in the Super Bowl. So I know Jason Taylor should make them better, but and not sold.
Okay, so you're going with Giants?
Yes, both ways.
All right. Mike Parenti, the unabashed Giants
fan. Do we even need to ask him this?
Oh, boy.
This is a decision for you?
Let me just tell you something.
He's faking it.
Your picks can't take this long every game.
Yeah. Got to move it along.
I got some grease on my hands here. I'm trying to just calibrate. I think there's some sauce over here. Okay. Yeah.
Is that hair gel?
I will take the Giants.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am shocked. I thought you were going to go the whole season taking whoever's playing against the Giants.
I really would like to, but I can't lie to myself tonight. I'm not really sold on the Redskins either. It's going to be a while. I still think at home, all the energy coming off the Super Bowl, it's the home opener, all that crap that's going to probably play into it. And then the Giants will start to suck in week two. So they'll go down their slide eventually, but not tonight.
I'm not sold on the Redskins either. However, this might be a little bit of a spite pick on my part, but I'm going to go with the Redskins both ways.
I'm going to take the Giants, not because I think the Giants are anything you know, real special. But I just think that, like Andy and Michael said, I think you get a big boost on this game. I think that the results, I don't know how long they've done. I know the Patriots beat the Colts in this game. Pittsburgh coming off there. They beat Miami. Indy beat New Orleans. I just think that generally the team that gets this game at home on that Thursday night has had pretty good success, and I'm going to expect that to continue with the Giants here. I don't think they'll blow them out, but I think they'll come away with a win.
Yeah, it's only been the Patriots, since the Patriots won the first of the back-to-back ones, that they've started doing that, and the Patriots won both of their openers, Rams-Pittsburgh, or Raiders-Pittsburgh, or the other way around, Pittsburgh-Raiders.
Well, Pittsburgh was back in to the Monday night game to open up the new stadium.
Sorry,
in 2002.
Then, but they did win their first two Thursday openers, if I recall.
Well, I know they beat Oakland. That's the only one I can remember. Was the Indy one also a Thursday night?
Yeah, when Vaynerchuk missed the field goal.
Yeah. Was that a Thursday night game?
I don't think so, was it?
I didn't think it was, but maybe it was.
Pretty positive it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
But anyway, I'm going to expect that trend to continue.
Well, I can't think that the Redskins are going to be the surprise team of the season and have them lose to their NFC East rivals on opening night. So I'm going to have the Redskins both ways in this game. And we'll see what happens.
All right. I say week 6 or 7 where you cut ties with your Redskins Super Bowl pick.
Okay. We'll see.
Interesting.
Not far, Andy? I was going with week 4, maybe.
Interesting game to start off our 1 o'clock Sunday slate. AFC North divisional game, Cincinnati at Baltimore, with Joe Flacco is going to get the start.
I thought I was running this.
You don't have the spreads. You said you didn't have the numbers, so I'm going to...
I have the games.
But you don't have the spreads.
And you told us it was on NFL Network.
Well, but first I wanted to read an email from Chris in the Bronx.
Yes. Okay. We should.
Who sent us a lunch.
It's the best.
It's scheduled for about 1:15. It came right on time. Sad to hear that you won't broadcast 5 days a week, but it will be nice to avoid temptation every day at noon as I work from home. Looked up Hodges on Yahoo. Drafted by the Seahawks in the 6th round in 05. Still eligible for the practice squad, though. I'm not sure exactly how. One question, do the Pats try to run more versus the Chiefs, or do they go with their typical passing game? They were pretty good versus the pass, 5th. Terrible versus the run, 28th. Could it be time for Maroney and even Lamont Jordan to put up some numbers? And also, Gary, you might want to keep in mind that at 12:29, while talking about the trainers, Andy said, I need you to massage that for 10 minutes. The possibilities abound. So
that's true. I did say that.
I think they'll come out and throw, try to score, get a couple of touchdown lead, then run the ball a little bit more. But that's right. I think they're going to run more throughout the year, provided that Maroney and Morris and Lamont Jordan stay healthy and the line doesn't have the trouble that it had during the preseason.
All right, good. So that's Chris from the Bronx. Thank you for lunch, Chris. We do appreciate it.
We love you.
I get lightheaded. I really do.
I do, too. I get cranky.
Because this is our lunch hour. And,
this was excellent, Chris. Thank you very much.
So Paul wants us to do Cincinnati at Baltimore. So we'll do Cincinnati
lightheaded.
The Bengals actually road favorites by 1.5. Joe Flacco making his NFL debut.
Injuries. Carson Palmer has a nose.
Yeah, he's going to play, though.
It's broken.
Full participation.
Okay.
That's all you got for injuries?
Let's see. For the Bengals, Fanine, who's an end, did not practice with an illness. They're still missing Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco Johnson as C. Johnson.
Ocho Cinco Johnson. It's actually Chad Ocho Cinco.
Who is?
That's his name.
Chad's? So they don't call him Chad anymore?
No, it is Chad Ocho Cinco.
I thought he changed it.
He did. He did.
Ocho Cinco.
He dropped the last name.
smiling.
But he had a full practice with a shoulder injury, and Caldwell, the wide receiver,
he had a name injury,
is limited with a toe injury.
And talent.
Willis McGahee for the Ravens is limited with a knee. Heap, the tight end, is again limited with a knee. Let's see. Smith, the quarterback, he's not going to play anyway. I don't know. Nobody of.
This is the most entertaining part of this. Heap, the tight end. I'm assuming he's never heard of Todd Heap. Apparently.
I have, but you know,
McGahee, the running back.
You can't assume that he's everyone hurt, listening though. Knows that you know Todd Heap's the tight end.
Well, you didn't say Todd. You said Heap, the tight end. I thought you would have said Todd Heap, the Pro Bowl tight end.
Anyway,
I think this is a tough game to pick because I think both these teams have some talented playmakers sprinkled throughout the roster, but I don't think either team is any by any means a good team. So basically, I'm going to pick against the cinderblock toed, lead-footed rookie quarterback with a strong arm and nothing else, so I'll take the Bengals. I'm going against the Rook. That's it.
I don't think this is a hard game to pick at all. Baltimore is awful. Cincinnati is above average. Therefore, ooh, I take Cincinnati both ways.
Oh, I think boy. They could both
I think
be
they're
awful.
Both awful, but I'm going to go with I'm going to give the rookie his first win in his first NFL game. Not by much, but I'm going to give it to him, Baltimore.
What was the number again?
He said, I'm going to give it to him.
1.5. Cincinnati's favored by 1.5. I'm going to take the Bengals, but I agree with Andy and Eric that I think it's two awful teams, potentially awful. I think Baltimore is awful, and I think Cincinnati will be awful in about 3 weeks.
Especially with Marvin Lewis trying to lose his job and get the hell
he
out
wants,
of Cincinnati.
He wants out of there. I don't blame him. That team needs to find a new direction. They do have some talent, but it's all mismatched, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the Ravens win this game. They do it with defense, low-scoring game, and they pull it out.
Ed Reed, if I recall, he had something going on. You never mentioned him.
The safety?
The safety.
He's not
Reed,
listed
safety.
Okay.
On the NFL.com.
He did miss the majority of preseason.
Yeah, that's why I was...
He's not listed.
Because I don't know if you've heard Bill Belichick talk about in the past. He's a pretty good player now.
Right. Okay, Fred, do you want to go on, Fred, or do you want me to...
No, what's the next
read on the back of a Patriot jersey?
What's the next one you want to cover?
Okay, one of some
that
interest...
That one I'd actually like to see.
We do have one of some interest to Patriots nation. The Jets are at Miami to open the season.
Huge game.
Brett Favre,
captain
Chad
of the
Pennington.
New York Jets, captain of the Miami Dolphins. Both players will meet at midfield for the ever-important coin toss.
Some interest in this one, I would think. Dolphins are getting 3 at home.
Dolphins need a lot more than 3. Jets win and cover on the road. I was listening to Mike Greenberg this morning talking about how this is a must-win for his Jets on opening day because they play the Patriots and then the Chargers in consecutive weeks thereafter. And if they have any aspirations...
Who's Mike Greenberg? Billy Mahoney, my old baseball coach? We have to win this one, so it'll take 2 games
basically,
to get us below 500?
Basically, he's hoping to be 1-2 after 3 games and still have a chance at the postseason. I agree with him. You don't start 0-3, and you can't lose to the Dolphins.
That's,
sink,
that's the part I agree with.
And I'll take the strong-armed quarterback over the limp-armed quarterback.
Yeah. Dolphins, I don't care if they're at home or not.
Maybe
really
we should eliminate Mike
difference.
From this little segment.
No, you shouldn't eliminate me from anything. You should eliminate you from life.
Oh! I would tend to agree.
Anyway, I'll take Brett the Jet Favre easily. They're going to cover, and they're going to win outright.
People won't like this show.
I'm going to go with Favre and the Jets, too, because Miami is awful. They're going to be awful soon.
Anybody else think it's bad that Favre was elected a captain?
Favre and Banneker.
Why is that bad?
2 new guys.
Because he's going to be there a year, maybe 2 at most. He has a reputation of not doing all the things in the offseason.
That's the part that
well,
I would say.
How are the captains on the Jets chosen? If it's by the players, they have no problem with it.
That's
if
true.
The players think he's the
That's
captain.
That's true. And
the
they
captain.
Probably do it the same way we do it because Mangini does everything Belichick does.
That's true. I guess if they voted for him, he's their captain.
Yeah.
I think they just voted for him because he's Brett frickin' Favre.
I think I always will
says,
be a captain.
Says a lot about that team, though, doesn't it? If they're willing to let that guy be a captain who they know is only going to be around for a year or two at best.
Who are the Patriots captains?
Well, didn't they have Junior Seau as a captain last year?
Yeah, so what difference is
it? He was only going to be around for a year.
But my point is, Seau had the reputation
two, and it'll probably be 3.
Of, like, the hardest working guy in here at 2
a.m. Are you telling me when they
that?
Elected him captain, they expected him to be back in 08?
I think it was a possibility, yeah.
I don't think they all expected to win the Super Bowl and
say they
ride into the sunset.
Well, I don't think when they elect captains, they're looking
right.
beyond that season.
Exactly.
Every year is different. What does it matter if he's not going to be
exactly.
here?
Exactly. I agree with
but,
you, Fred.
Why can't he be a captain for that 1 year?
Well, I just think it's you bought a captain. That's how I look at it.
Well, by
I
like that,
I just don't think that he's a captain
then
type.
Then they should have any captains because every guy could be gone by next year.
But I don't think Brett Favre's a captain
and he
type.
The captain
that's the part
be like
of it.
The Bruins captain, like Mike Milbury.
But Paul,
he's having a C on his jersey.
I think he should be a respected leader of your franchise, not a
Mike
mercenary
Milbury?
That you got.
But
was
2
Mike
weeks
Milbury
ago.
Ever captain?
I think he was.
He was the coach.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Before
maybe he named himself captain.
Paul was a defenseman with a 77 on his jersey.
Yes, Eric.
Seau was not elected captain his first year here.
No, but he also came in much later than Brett Favre did his first year. I don't think that Favre should be the captain. No, I'm not arguing with that. No, but you don't think he's a captain type.
No, but you were taking issue with
Alan Faneca. I have no problem with. I think Alan Faneca is a captain type.
Yeah,
even though he's probably only around for the short term.
And I
have no problem with that.
Chad Pennington is a captain
type. Well, Eric's point is you get two new guys and automatically they become
automatically captain. Right. Sehou came in here. He worked for a year. He got injured in that November game.
Well, all right. Rodney Harrison came in the first year here. He was a captain. I mean, it's semantics. I think those guys are captain types.
Right.
I have a problem with the individual, Brett Favre. I don't think he's a captain.
I agree
based
with
on
you.
His reputation.
I agree with
based
you.
On his reputation.
Course, that might be one of these arguments where we're agreeing with each other.
That yelling? Might be one of those that we're talking about Felger too much. Because Felger has kind of clouded us on. He doesn't do the things in the offseason. He doesn't watch the film. He doesn't work hard to better himself. That, to me, is not a captain.
Like Bledsoe.
Like Brady.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah.
I'm
if you only want, kidding. I mean, if you want to say that, or the new Brady.
Oh,
wow. Well, that's why I was wondering. Have captains been elected yet?
Probably we won't find out until they take the field, right?
No, we usually find that out. Like, we did a story on that for the web last year.
Yeah, it's usually announced
during
the
week
before the game.
Yeah, you know, Eric, you are correct. Bill has, in the past, occasionally...
Made
a big deal of that.
And there's
they
a
have,
release.
Who are the captains going to be?
Why don't you ask tomorrow?
So if Brady's a captain, are we all
going to bitch and moan? Tomorrow might actually be the day that happens.
Yeah, because we didn't have
PFW.
Are we going to bitch and moan if Brady is a captain because he didn't win his parking spot? Okay, then shut up.
Well, I will, but I mean, I think you meant the like a general, right? Because yeah, I wouldn't vote him this year. He
what
chose
do you got over there,
compete.
By the way?
I didn't have one yet, so you
cinnamon
can't
sticks.
Oh, you hoarding
only,
those again?
There's only one
every
there?
Time we get the cinnamon
he hoards,
sticks,
he hoards
you
everything.
Grab them.
They were sitting in front of my printer. He's already had. Six
they're within
of them.
Reach of you and no one else.
Are they gone now? Is he having the last one?
I had three.
There's
you had three.
There's six, and he had three.
There's only six of them.
Well, then there's definitely more than six because.
They come they're in little
left.
Chunks of three.
No, there were nine in there.
Boy, I'll tell you. All right.
Wow. I'm taking the Jets, too, but I agree with Mike Greenberg. I think if you're a team, especially an improving team, and you're expecting to be part of the playoff run, you have to win games like this.
Yeah.
Have to.
And the number again?
Three.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jets outright.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. This is stunning.
Mark tape. Jeez.
This is stunning.
Well,
I'm a little disappointed.
They're in for the big fall next week.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that, but that's
Wait,
still stunning.
Didn't last week you were telling me that could be one of their losses?
It could be, but I'm I look at it positively going in.
The more I listen to you make I mean
45 minutes
sense.
Ago I just told you that anything could happen this year and I have no idea.
That's going to be a wrap for PFW in Progress.
You know, they could
that's the kind of analysis you only get here on PFW in Progress.
I you know, check it out.
All right, you're a rich man. Buy an opinion.
What's the next game?
Houston, and what a lot of people are calling, ESPN, the magazine's calling it the IT team, Fred, the Houston Texans. I ain't buying it. Travel to Andy Hart's favorite club,
adopted
Pittsburgh
hometown.
Steelers.
Yeah. Oh, blow.
Steelers by
out.
6.5.
The Steelers will win double digits easy. They will put up points. Hopefully Mendenhall will play and hold on to the ball. Mendenhall
Don't
is ridiculous. Yeah, Eugene Wilson.
Evidently he's betting on it.
Eugene Wilson landed in Houston, by the way. They
oh,
him.
Okay.
So he will not be returned to the Patriots.
Site of his... "quote unquote" groin injury in the Super Bowl when Fred didn't think he was
and
hurt.
The
I'm
beginning
still
of the end.
Dubious.
The beginning of the end.
I'm
of
still
career.
Dubious. I will go with Andy on this one as well. This is an easy game for Pittsburgh. Yeah. How is Houston the IT team in ESPN?
Did you read any
magazine?
Of that stuff? The ESPN, the magazine, I should say, I thought put together a pretty good preview. Do you guys
sure,
see any of that?
No.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with this pick, but what they did was they used a lot of. A lot of data, a lot of like kind of baseball Bill James kind of stuff that I don't really like.
Nerd alert.
But yeah. They used
Bo
a lot
Jackson
of that to try to come up with
yards.
A formula to predict who that team that's going to come out of nowhere is. Because, and the guy who put it together said, you know, they've had, you know, four or five different teams over the last 4 or 5 years that they keep predicting and they never get it. They haven't gotten that team yet. But meanwhile, there
I don't
are
know
plenty of examples
wrong.
Of others that have gone from 4-12 to 12-4. They can't find it. So they've decided to go with numbers, and they went with the Houston Texans.
On a related note, I
had
an argument with the stat nerd once who tried to tell me that Bobby Abreu was a better player than Paul O'Neill, and I almost ripped his throat out.
Let me guess, Dave Brown.
No, but I digress.
Guess.
Go on, Eric, your picks.
Well, I always pick, as you know, Paul, at least one upset special of the week. This is it. Houston,
you are nothing
outright.
If not a riverboat gambler, Eric.
Houston outright.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Houston outright.
Wow. That would
we all appreciate the one-game lead that
now,
you gave
Now, if that
us.
Happens, if Houston beats
I'll
the
give
Steelers
him the nod.
Outright in Pittsburgh.
I'll give him the nod.
Do you cut ties with the Steelers?
Oh, him? No. Absolutely. Before the game's even over.
Absolutely.
No.
I think so.
I don't think the Steelers are all that good, to be honest with you.
Not in week one. No.
Fred, it depends how Mendenhall plays.
I think
if Mendenhall has a great game, he's still on.
I'm on the Steelers.
Or
if he doesn't play, well, as soon as they put him in,
Mendenhall, right.
By the way,
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Side argument here. Reading Peter King, I believe it was, preseason predictions. In his top two or three for defensive player of the year, Lamar Woodley, Pittsburgh Steelers. Got to tell you, if they get another breakout guy like that at linebacker, their defense will be better. The offense is better. I feel a Super Bowl.
All right.
Just saying. And by the way, Fred.
You know what? These stat nerds, if they really wanted to do something worthwhile, they should track all these predictions that everyone makes. And every time somebody makes a prediction, do past history so that we can get a little, you know, quantified information there.
You mean, Andy can't throw the 2002 Tampa Bay Buccaneers in our face every day?
put their powers to work for that.
I agree.
Just wanted to say quickly, Fred, the 12-4 argument. If the Houston Texans go 12-4, awesome season.
I would say so. You went on this argument yesterday.
12-4 is a good season.
Absolutely.
Average.
12-4 is a good record.
It's a good season. It's not awesome.
I mean, it's going to be four games worse than last year if the Patriots do it. So it's going to be hard to ignore that.
Just in comparison 12-4 is every a good playoffs.
For
every
any
year,
team.
It's
for any team.
A good. It doesn't guarantee you the seed or anything.
Well,
so
you're
awesome.
Up there. You're vying for the seed at 12-4.
I think anything above 12-4 is awesome.
I mean, Andy, they went 14-2 and didn't get the number one seed. I mean, nothing really guarantees you anything.
Fred told me 12-4 is an awesome season.
12-4
is
an awesome
seed.
I think it's an awesome season.
I think it's a good playoff season.
Okay.
What's great? 16-0?
Yeah. A good playoff season
great
is
16-0 and 15-1.
Oh, come on.
14-2.
A very good season is 14-2, 13-3.
Oh, God.
Idiots.
Very good. There's been like four teams.
Go by history.
There's like. I'm going to use history. You're talking about four teams are great.
Every year there's at least three teams that are 12-4. That's how awesome it is. Every year.
And how many teams
are... generally
there's
at least
six. So in other words, you don't think there are any great teams.
There's at least five or six teams that are 12-4 or better because there are those awesome teams.
Five or six every year.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think there's that many teams that are better than 12-4.
Check the record. We actually looked it up yesterday.
Five or six teams every year are better than 12-4?
No. 12-4 or better, first of all, is what I said.
Okay, 12-4 or better. Five or six.
Including the 12-4.
I'm not recording everything.
The lowest is 3, and then all the other years it was, here's one, 4-5, 5-6, 4-5, 5-6.
What are you going to do?
Except in the 80s, by the way. 80s, the standards were different.
Oh, okay. So you're just talking about currently.
I'm talking about like the last 15 years.
No, he's just changing his argument.
Exactly.
Well,
I thought we were talking
about the NFL in 2008.
History, but you said I'm going on history.
You're right. In 1936, I would have gone with 12-4 as a great record.
You know,
that he uses are unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't want to get into a big tangent here, but we have talked about, you know, despite what the NFL talks about, salary cap and parity. Basically, we have the same teams every year. You know, with the exception of one or two.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Vying for the playoffs. So.
Because the salary cap makes it very easy to be able to manufacture your roster, I think.
They're all good decision makers.
Well, that's true.
Bill Belichick, and Kevin Colbert, my favorite guy
in the
world.
I think that's where you can separate yourself from the other teams is coaching and front office.
No, but it's the same argument. I think Bill Polian, Bill Belichick, and Kevin Colbert would succeed in 84, 74, 64.
I think you're right. They're smart people. I think
I'm taking Pittsburgh, Fred.
I am taking Pittsburgh to win but not cover.
What was the spread?
6.5.
6.5.
Not buying my Steelers, huh?
Nope.
Well, I'm not in love with your Steelers because I don't think they have an offensive line, and I think their defense is going to struggle.
Oh, dominant.
I think they have...
And a coach
that's not
that great.
I think they have a great quarterback. I think Santonio Holmes
I'm on board with the coach could be the albatross.
Yeah, I think that Santonio Holmes could be looking at a breakout-type season. Hines Ward, obviously, is terrific. I think they have a good situation in the backfield. I think they're going to have a good offense. I think the offensive line might hurt them. And I worry about their defense. What about their defense?
All right, next game, Paul.
Jacksonville at Tennessee. And another really good early season matchup, AFC South playoff contenders. The Titans are at home getting 3.
Ooh, getting
too 3. Too much respect for the Jags?
Too much respect for the Jags. I'm still looking for young David Garrard to prove to me that he is indeed an elite passer and did not have an aberrational season. that's different from Aborigine season. And I need to say this. I'm picking this based on my love of the Tennessee Titans. I put them in the playoffs, and if you remember correctly, Paul, when I looked at their schedule, I think I had them like 7-0 and assumed they'd win this game because they have pretty easy schedule after this. I'm going to say they get it done at home and win outright.
All right.
Tennessee sucks. Jacksonville both ways.
You suck.
Okay.
Vince sucks.
Yeah, I'm going with Jacksonville both ways as well.
Okay, yes. Paul.
Yeah, I'm going to make it 3 in a row. I like Jacksonville here on the road as well.
This is the big flip game early in the year where
just
Andy
not
jumps
sold.
Out.
Just not sold on Tennessee.
I'm taking Tennessee to win. I think they do it with defense.
Well, they do have a terrific defense, Fred. You make a good point.
I generally make my reads on Eric and Fred, and I feel like if I'm opposite them, I got a pretty good chance, but I'm with Fred on this one.
You shouldn't do that, though, Andy, because I beat you handily last
we go
year.
From
yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
we
did.
Go from a bunch of interesting matchups to a dud here, Andy. Detroit is at Atlanta.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how Matt Ryan.
Matty Heisman.
You know.
Well, Falcons are at home getting 3. Well, more than a few home dogs this week.
I will take the Lions to come out early. Offensively, they seem to all be in love with the fact that Mike Martz is no longer with them. They virtually all seem to hate him. They've gotten rid of Tatum O'Neal, I believe, who's a thief. Did you see that story?
Tatum O'Neal.
Tatum Bell. Yeah. Robbed
weird.
Rudy Johnson's bags while he was in for a visit.
It's unbelievable.
And I'm going to say Calvin Johnson has, you know, continues his development. I think he's a great player. Watched a highlight package. Everything I saw in the preseason was him making catches. So I think they get it done. I don't know how good they are, but they don't have to be all that good to beat the Atlanta Falcons. And Matty Heisman is not Matty MVP.
Hey, Lions are a pretty good first-half team just about every year, going 6-2
last
season.
That's when Andy falls in love with them.
That's why I take them now. Sure, I absolutely take them in this game, too. I think Ryan's going to struggle being his first game and all. So I will go with Detroit both ways.
Also not sold on the running back, by the way, down there. I think he's
Michael Turner.
I don't think he's a franchise back.
Love Michael Turner, but I don't love Atlanta.
Stiff.
This is the start of the run for the Lions to win the NFC North.
Okay.
So they're going to win outright
in
Atlanta.
All right.
Spoil Matt Ryan's debut.
All right.
Okay.
Paulie.
I have a hard time disputing anything my three esteemed colleagues just said about the Lions. They are a first-half team. This would seem to be a game that they get fat at. But I'm going to take Atlanta at home in the opener.
Okay.
Pull an upset. Not really a major upset, but I think they find a way to get it done in the home opener. I don't think the Falcons are going to win too many more, however.
See, they were slashing ticket prices to make sure they had fans there and didn't get blacked out and everything.
That's a good idea.
I agree.
Well, I'm going to go with the Lions in this one.
Okay.
All right.
Moving along. Back into the Patriots division. Seattle is going to travel across the country to play the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills, a team that seems varying
Bills
opinions
by one.
On. Bills by one in
Circling
Buffalo.
The wagons.
Seattle, tough team for me to always get a read on. They're certainly one of those teams that better in the NFC than in the AFC. I take them to win on the road. Not sold on the Buffalo Bills. I said this early, and it might bite me in the back early. Marshawn Lynch, I'm not sure he's ready to be the workhorse and do enough so that they can be one of those run the ball, play defense, and Edwards only has to make 3 key completions every game. I don't think they're there yet. Yeah, 3. So Seattle wins.
You had Bills favored, is that right?
Bills are favored by 1.
Wow.
Yeah, they are the
AFC
home team.
NFC.
And it's a long road trip for Seattle.
Well, I think it's probably as much
weary.
About that as anything.
Yeah, but I'm still going to go with Seattle. A lot more weapons on both sides of the ball. I'm not really sold on Buffalo. I don't think Buffalo's very good at all, actually. So Seattle easily.
Well, I love those. Like when we start talking. And actually, you know what? I think they stink.
You know something? They stink. Yeah, so you know, I'm just going to go with Seattle.
I think Buffalo is a better team than everyone says or everyone thinks they are. I think they're going to be a better team than the Jets, but not good enough to beat Seattle. I agree with you, Mike. Seattle's more talented. I'll go with Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah, I just think Buffalo's awful. And they may win this game home opener. You know, they always seem to play well in that game up in Buffalo. But I just think Seattle is that much better. I think they find a way to get a tough road win. I don't like Buffalo at all.
Buffalo wins this game. So Buffalo wins, Patriots win, Jets win, and all the idiots are saying, has the rest of the AFC East caught up with the Patriots?
No.
That'll be what they're saying.
No one's going to say that.
No.
After
watch.
Week one,
you
because
watch.
They're 1-0.
You
and
watch
the Patriots
the
didn't play them.
Oh, God.
You watch the knuckleheads. But Buffalo wins the game. Okay, next game, Paul.
I'm watching a knucklehead.
Back in the NFC, Andy, Tampa Bay is at New Orleans, where the Saints are expecting to be able to play no problems with all the weather issues they've had. Saints by 3.
Saints by 3. Are the Saints going to be a good team? That's a tough question. I do not think the Bucks are going to be a good team. I didn't think they were going to be a good team last year. Surprised me to make the playoffs. I am going to say Jeff Garcia stinks, and the Saints surprisingly make some plays on defense and win this one big.
I think the Saints are a playoff team this year, and I think their defense is going to be improved. So these are, like we talked about with the first pick, with the Jets and Dolphins, this is a game you would have to win if you're New Orleans and you're a serious playoff contender. So I take the Saints both ways.
I have the Saints making the NFC Championship game this year. I don't think that the Buccaneers are as good as the playoff team that they masqueraded themselves as last year, so I'm going to go with New Orleans big in this game.
I like the Saints, too, for the reasons that Mike said. I think they're going to be back. You had that good year, then you take the step back, and I think they're a pretty good team, so I think they can rebound from that, have that natural progression, and I think if you're expecting that, you have to win games like home openers against division rivals.
Yeah. Well, I think the Saints win this game, too. They definitely, their defense, they actually upgraded it with Vilma. They got him. They got Shockey, too, but I don't think he's going to do much right away. But as far as the Buccaneers, right. though.
Shockey will be a workhorse.
As far as the Buccaneers, I think Jeff Garcia has always been a poor man's Brett Favre. And at one point, that was a good thing, but now it's a bad thing. So I think that Saints win this game.
All right, we're going to move along to St. Louis. The Rams are going to go to Philadelphia, where the Eagles are favored by 7.5, Andy.
7.5? That's kind of a large number. And I'm reading things about Steven Jackson in a limited role after the limited preseason thanks to his contract holdout. I'm going to take the Eagles to win, but I will take the points. The Rams, I told you this, Paul, I feel like they fell off the map, and I don't even know who the Rams are. They have a nobody coach. They've had injuries. They've had all these issues. But I think they hang close early in the year here with the Eagles, even though I think the Eagles are clearly the better team.
Isn't that kind of counterintuitive, what you just said, that what? Jackson getting a limited role, and you thought that that was a big number for Philly? Wouldn't it be a small number if he's going to have a limited role?
What?
Too much
you
for
said
you?
Jackson
too much for
was
you all
at
once?
Be limited, but yet you still thought the spread
well,
was
don't
too big.
Well, I don't know how good too Philly's going to be.
Well, I'm with Andy on that, too.
Again, I think I their defense, Philly.
I know
win
Philly
this game
is like
defense.
The chic good. Pick this year for some reason. A lot of people are high in Philly.
I like the Eagles' offense. I'm not so
I'm
much
not
about
as
the defense.
High on them as everybody else is, but I don't like St. Louis much at all, so I will take the points, and I will take the Eagles outright, obviously. So I'll go both ways on that. Ooh, never mind. Scratch that from the record.
Oh, Mark. That's not the first time you're going to say that, just so you know.
Yeah, that happens every week.
I may say it tonight.
That's Eric's statement.
All right. I like the Eagles in this game. I think they'll win by 7 to 10 points, so I'm going to go with them both ways.
All right, I'm going to take the Eagles to win, and I am falling into that. The Eagles are a chic NFC pick. Yeah. I'm falling into that trap. I liked what I saw out of some of their young guys during the preseason for whatever that was worth. Who knows? We'll find out. But I do like the Rams to cover. I like that extra half point, 7.5. They're going to buy me with that half point. I'll take the Rams to cover.
To chic.
I took the Rams with the points, right?
You did.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm taking the Eagles to win the game, but Rams to cover. So.
All right. This should be an interesting game. Dallas goes to Cleveland. Two teams that have postseason aspirations. Dallas, you might say, Super Bowl aspirations.
I will say.
They are road favorites by 5.5.
I'll take the Dallas Cowboys to win and win big. I think the Browns are going to have a very disappointing year. I think Derek Anderson is going to have a very disappointed year. And I think early in the season, the Cowboys are going to be hot, rolling, big points, probably some plays on defense. My one question is, at whatever point they reach a little adversity, how do they react to that? But I think they are going to just have their way with the Browns.
I disagree with this being an interesting game because I think Cleveland's been one of the most overrated teams over the last couple of years. I think people have put them on the doorstep of the Super Bowl and the AFC title game. And
I don't know that anyone's
I've never really seen it.
Let's put the brakes on there.
But they're just like the Eagles. They've been this chic pick the last couple of years. And based off what? Based off what? So Dallas is a superior team on both sides of the football. They're going to win this one easily.
I agree Dallas is going to win. I like the Browns to win their division this year, though, but I don't think they're going to be enough for the Cowboys in week one. So I'll take Dallas both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cleveland, and not because I think they're going to be a chic pick for the Super Bowl or anything like that. I just think that they are a pretty good team. At this time last year, they were dead. I mean, no one thought they were going to win more than three or four games. It was, when is Romeo going to get fired? They went out, won 10 games. I think hats off to them for doing that. And I think they continue that development. I've said this many times, though. I think the AFC North teams are going to have a really, really hard time with the schedules that they're going to have playing the NFC East and the AFC South. I think that's about as tough as it can get out of your division. Those are 8 tough games. I think 9-7 is going to win that division, and Cleveland's going to end up 9-7. I think they get an upset here, Cleveland.
Well, I'll certainly be rooting for the Browns to win this game, but I think the Cowboys win it and cover. Early in the season, they got a lot of talent at the right places, the Cowboys do. And I think, you know, for the Browns, I think they're going to maybe catch momentum, but they won't beat it. You know, it's a tough draw first game of the season.
Yeah, and they also have like 5 primetime games, Cleveland. I don't know if they're ready to handle that. I mean, we saw it wear on the Patriots last year, and they've been through more of that than anybody. So I agree with the skepticism of the Browns. I just think they can get off to a good start here and maybe catch Dallas napping. Andy,
okay.
Carolina is at San Diego, where the Chargers are a big favorite, 9 points.
Ooh, 9 points.
9 times.
Ooh, no Steve Smith for the Carolina Panthers.
That is correct.
I will take the Chargers to win and cover. Again, picking up some early season momentum that may not be indicative of exactly how good they are and how much of a Super Bowl favorite they really should be. And we will begin the watch on the Sean Merriman. When does his career end? When he gets injured? But it's early in the year. LaDainian Tomlinson comes out nice and fresh since, you know, he hasn't
had several months off.
Yeah. And it's going to be warm.
He's been off since the final game of last season. And it'll be nice and warm, as Fred said, and he'll be ready to go. And everything's rolling in San Diego until the Patriots come to town and they actually get a battle. And then we'll find out who they are. But they roll big in this one.
Yeah, LT is on a Carl Pavano-like schedule where he just plays.
He won again last night,
240.
Huh?
No, he only won 4 innings.
Oh.
Real, real solid effort. But, you know, San Diego is one of my Super Bowl picks. So I'm going to go with them, obviously, in this game. I think, too, with Del Home coming back and this being his first game, is going to be a little bit of a rust factor there as well. So I don't expect much ball movement from Carolina. I'll take San Diego to cover and win outright.
Because they wear a jock strap.
Yeah.
Oh,
not a lot of ball movement.
I don't like Carolina. They're always overrated in my book.
Anymore. I think people now have really gotten off their bandwagon.
Historically, they're an overrated
team.
I mean,
even John Fox,
one of those
he was
chic
the darling
like
of the 4
years. Yeah.
I'm going to go with San Diego to win and cover.
I like San Diego to win this game rather easily, but I'm a little reluctant to give the 9 in week 1. I think Carolina, maybe with the last score, backdoor cover. So I'll take San Diego to win, Carolina to cover.
I'll take San Diego outright in this game. You know, I guess they win the AFC West by default.
That's a pretty bad division.
You know? Yeah, it's pretty awful there.
All right, next game, Paul.
Arizona at San Francisco, where the Niners are a home dog getting 2.5.
I will take the Cardinals to win on the road, the better team. Early in the year, Kurt Warner can't be hurt, so he will be healthy and probably throwing for 300 yards because that's what he does when he's generally healthy and isn't getting killed and sacked all around.
And has some good receivers.
And I think the Cardinals are, every year, I think they're going to take that next step, and maybe this is the year. But even if they don't, this is a game they should win, even against, you know, even if they're a mediocre team, they should beat the 49ers.
Yeah, Arizona is my chic pick this year. So I will take the Cardinals outright and covering. Pretty easy one for me here.
JT O'Sullivan era.
I was just going to say, I have memories of him on the practice squad here last year. Or
had long hair
year?
Then, though.
Yeah, I think
just
it was last
don't
year.
Don't worry.
And I don't like the Niners. I like Arizona to win, and to win by at least a touchdown.
Ooh, big, bold touchdown.
At least. Did you pick Arizona?
Yes, sir.
By at least a touchdown.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals, too.
2.5 points.
So, Mike, the Cardinals are your chic pick, and you're making fun of everybody else for having the same chic pick every year? When was the last time the Cardinals weren't everybody's chic pick?
That's my point. I'm going out on a limb with a different chic pick and not just riding the bandwagon with Cleveland. And
no, Carolina. Everybody has Arizona every year.
Arizona
and Detroit. Arizona and Detroit. This is the year.
The Lions and the
Cardinals. This is the year.
I disagree strongly. Yeah.
Well, you listen to weird people. I never heard the Browns in the Super Bowl.
This time last year, it was when is Rack getting fired?
Right.
No one thought Cleveland was going to be anything last
year. He will
year.
Get fired at the end of this year. Don't worry about
He's
it.
He's listening to that kid from URI.
Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Enough.
Cardinals, Freddie.
Just because I have friends outside of this room.
This is an interesting game because both teams have shown signs that, you know, they might get an improving team. I think, though, San Francisco might be looking ahead a little bit. They go to Seattle the week after.
San Francisco has the luxury of looking ahead these days.
You know, so I think Arizona wins this game. They come home and play the Dolphins the week after. So
they're going to be 2-0.
Who?
Arizona.
All right, moving along. The Sunday night game, Andy.
Chic pick.
Chicago at Indy. I was going to say Cincinnati for some reason, but Chicago at Indianapolis, where the Colts are favored by 9.5.
Home return.
Peyton Manning all set to go.
Kyle Orton returning to the state in which he had so much success. He went to Purdue, right?
Yeah, tons of success.
And that success will only benefit the Indianapolis Colts because we all know Kyle Orton struggles to throw the ball more than 4.5 inches in front of his body, and the Colts win big.
What are the points again in this game?
9.5.
Does it matter?
Oh, Christ. Okay, yeah, this is going to be an ass-whooping.
Christ, an ass-whooping in the same sentence.
Sorry.
All right.
Does anyone have a Thursday report for Saturday?
Who?
Thursday report for Saturday.
Jeff Saturday. His knee.
Well, he's out for at least 6 weeks, right?
So he's out this game?
I got a six-week report.
Okay. See, this week is part of 6 weeks, so he's out.
So for at least that. Out. I think he's probably going to be out for the year.
How does that affect?
If that hasn't already been determined, I don't know.
You know, the guy that in the middle of that line.
Yeah,
does that affect Manning at all?
Tarek Glenn last year, and they won.
I didn't get anybody to snap the ball.
I'm starting to think as long as Manning lines up, they win. As long as Brady lines up, the Patriots win, and then they battle each other, and it comes down to the
wire. I do agree with that, but I would worry a little about the Colts' key defensive players and how fast or how durable they can be. Freeney, Sanders, they need those guys.
They're back, baby.
I know they're back, but at what level? Much like we're wondering about with Brady. We know Brady's going to play, but at what level?
Well, they worked out in the offseason.
First regular season game in the Luke Oil Stadium?
Yeah.
Luke Oil?
Luke?
Whatever it is.
Isn't Matthew?
Lucas. Lucas Oil?
I thought it was Lucas.
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 It's Luke for short.
Matthew, Mark.
I call it the Luke.
John. Sorry.
Colts big.
Yeah, I like the Colts in the opener as well.
Yeah, I got to go with the Colts. The Bears are...
A lot of people predicting the Colts could have a big fall. By a lot, I mean Tom Curran of NBCSports.com.
He, just so you know, is a clown. And by clown, I mean clown.
I also think that, and this might not be fair, but I think that he falls into the reactionary, what the Patriots fans want to hear category right. When he does those, like, really outlandish things. Like, he's always killing Polian. Yeah, two Monday night games, as Gary alluded to with the music.
Yeah. Okay. What was that?
Minnesota's at Green Bay.
This could have been a great game if Green Bay had allowed Favre to go to the Vikings, but
Packers by 2.5.
Ooh, Packers favorite. Interesting. I thought Minnesota was the representative of the Super Bowl out of the National Football Conference. I will take the Green Bay Packers to win this one as Aaron Rodgers gets off to a great start on his career as the starting quarterback in Green Bay. I think he throws the ball all over that overrated Minnesota Vikings defense. He avoids the pass rush of that overrated Jared Allen, and the Packers win and get off to an early lead in the NFC North.
Speaking of overrated, Aaron Rodgers will struggle. Well, I was going to go there too, but
I was going to go Mike Brenny's turn to pick.
Real funny. Minnesota's a better team.
Takes it well.
Rodgers is a rookie quarterback. On this is not going to work out. Minnesota both ways. Just not going to work out.
Wow.
Packers win 4 games this year.
You got a lot of wrong picks this week, Mike.
Wow. We'll see it.
Your picks are so bad that you have Eric mocking you.
Yeah. Hey.
We'll see.
I beat all you guys last year.
But you don't mock anybody.
Well,
you're too cerebral
over
for that.
We'll see
over
the scoreboard.
You're too cerebral
Tuesday
to
morning.
Mock anybody.
Don't worry about it. We'll see the scoreboard on Tuesday morning.
I don't think Green Bay is going to be that great a team to begin with, but they're going to be better than the chic pick of the year, which is Minnesota.
Now that's a true chic pick.
That's not a chic pick.
That is such a chic pick.
Arizona, I will admit, is more of
it's
a
so chic,
chic
a pick
than
that Lori picked them.
Oh, that's not right. Lori's a smart football mind.
She's chic, though.
You're a geek, so don't worry about it.
Can we keep my breasts out of it?
No.
Okay.
Green Bay, you like?
Paul, keep
yeah,
it
both,
going.
Both ways. Now she's pointing to her breasts behind the glass.
I'm going with the Vikings here.
Unzipping
I hope.
Her shirt.
I'm hoping beyond hope.
I could always eat your salad.
That Aaron Rodgers has a good year. And the Packers, I think they're a pretty good team. I think the Packers at least will be, even without Brett Favre, 8-8, 9-7, somewhere around there. But I'm buying into the Vikings. I think it's a weak NFC, and I think anything can happen. I like the defense that they've done. Putting Allen with the Williamses on the defensive line. I'm going to go with the Vikings to get it done on the road in Lambeau.
I'm going to go with the Packers to win this game and further prove to Brett that, you know, we can do it without you.
I would love nothing more to have than to have that happen, Freddie. The other Monday night game.
Two pretty good defenses.
Yeah, one more Monday night game to talk about. We have two this week, Andy.
Dos.
Yes. Denver is at Oakland to see the red-faced Lane Kiffin.
Red-faced?
Yes, red. He said his face was all red. That's why he couldn't coach.
The
Oakland Broncos
Raiders,
by three.
Unless, as unbelievable it can be, become more of a debacle day by day as all these joke moves happen. They got the big paid receiver who wanted to retire, but they talked him into staying so they could keep paying him the $11 million. He's hurt. He might not play. They sign Ashley Lalee, the cast-offs. Chad Jackson, I'm sure, will be in uniform soon by this game. The Broncos will not be good, but they will beat the hell out of the Oakland Raiders, as Mike Shanahan is wont to do.
I need an upset pick, so I'll just take Oakland. No other reason other than
that. Would be an upset.
That would be a huge upset. Denver, big.
Okay.
I think it's really two really, really bad teams, to be honest with you, but I'm going to take the Broncos to win because I just can't pick Oakland in any game.
Yeah. I think Broncos could be the surprise team out of the West.
You could be right.
With Jay Cutler. I think, you know, getting his health straight was a big deal. And I think he could be the difference here.
That's another chic pick, by the way. Not so much the Broncos, but Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler.
Like exploding because he has his health in order now. I don't know how much truth there is to that, to be honest with you. Only he knows.
Today, huh?
Only he knows how much that affected him last year.
A lot of chic picks.
Stylish, you like the Broncos,
the
Freddie?
Yep.
All right, that's it.
Oh,
that leaves us
Fred admitting
to,
on tape he likes the Broncos.
We got to go back
that,
to the
That leaves us just
game,
the Patriots though. Game.
Oh, I can't wait.
16.5.
Kansas City, opening day here at Gillette Stadium. Patriots now, do we know what the home win record is at this point?
Yes, they've never lost a home game at Gillette Stadium, home opener at Gillette Stadium.
I know. Is there another streak beyond that now, home
wins? I mean, how many home
how
wins
many,
in a
yeah,
row?
Yeah.
Well, they lost a couple of games in 06, so it's probably like 10.
10? And what other streak are they going for here?
12, longest regular maybe? Season
yeah.
win streak.
They're
and what is that?
They've won 19 in a row,
right.
Correct? 16 and then 3 the previous
season. So they hold the record season. Every time they win it.
Yes.
Adds
it
to
adds
that.
To it, yeah.
That's
okay.
Correct.
Breaking their own record.
Okay.
But couldn't the Hurricane Hannah play some havoc with this game?
Well, I heard Saturday night we could get some heavy rain and into Sunday, so
hey,
it could.
I'm
not that one. The other one.
Hurricane Hannah.
If it does, do you have any problems with that?
I still think, well, I'll get to my pick later.
Okay. Andy? Well,
it certainly would favor the Chiefs
sure,
if it did.
Sure.
Right. All those stupid things favor the underdog and the worst team. If you
well, especially
a
when you have a team that's going to be content to run the ball and
but
another one that wants to throw it all over the place.
In general, whenever you add factors that could be game changers, it always benefits the team that isn't expected to win and dominate.
How much has sport turf changed that, though, especially with rain?
Field turf?
And precipitation, you know, because now you don't have the slop.
Right. It won't be sloppy, and as we've noticed, it's not even as slick when it pours.
It's better when
it's
it pours.
Slick when it's just dewy.
Humid.
It
certainly
yeah.
seems that way, yeah.
So I don't think it's that big a deal, and I think the gap of talent is too great. I think the Patriots do come out. I think Tom Brady comes out. I think they win the opening coin toss. They take the ball, and they drive down the field to lead 7-0, and they start their streak of not deferring, and they beat the snot out of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I predict if – I have a couple predictions, but I do predict if they do win the toss, they will defer.
Okay, we'll see. Bill said 100% until he didn't.
I know.
I think the
spread's he wanted to get extra reps in the first half in
okay.
that game.
I think the spread's too big anyway, so even if there's a little bit of a rain factor, that would certainly negate it, so – I'm going to take the Patriots outright, obviously, but I'll take the Chiefs with the points. 16.5 is way, way, way too big.
It's a lot of points.
It's a lot. That's ridiculous.
If the weather does anything, I think it's going to keep the Patriots from maybe putting up as many points as they were going to, but I still think they win by 21. It could be 24-3 or 21-0. The Chiefs are not going to be any match.
Okay. Paul.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mike. I think the Patriots are going to win the game somewhat easily, but I like that number. I think it's too high, and I'm going to take the points. Especially week one. You're playing all these young guys that you don't really know a whole lot about. You know, maybe that's worth a, you know, maybe a big play touchdown for Kansas City. Maybe Dwayne Bowe gets free or something, makes a play, and they score maybe even one touchdown more than you expected. Maybe something like 28-13.
Yeah, I was a little surprised when this number came out, but I'm going to side with the wise guys here and say they might know something a little bit. So I'm going to go with the Patriots to cover in this game. And here's another prediction for those who – you know, doubt Matthew Slater. My prediction is if Matthew Slater is
Reed Parenti
is the kickoff guy in the first three games, you know, the primary kickoff guy, he will score a touchdown within the first three games.
God, you guys want to oil him down too and anoint him? I mean, God, this is unbelievable.
Well, you got to go. You got to make a stand.
Yeah, I make a stand that he's off the team. Okay.
He's more
weeks.
Of a shot than C.J. Jones.
He's
no, he does not.
Dumb.
You're lucky he was in the locker room today.
Okay, he's in the locker room because he's on the team and he's going to contribute. unlike the rookie who can't get the ball past the 28-yard
okay,
line.
Okay, so you're saying that C.J. Jones is going to be more of a factor this year than Matthew Slater.
In the return game, absolutely.
In the return game?
Yes.
Chris from the Bronx, keep that resume on hand.
Yep.
Okay.
There have been far more ridiculous.
Somebody's at the door.
This is Captain Jeffrey Campbell of the New England End Zone Militia. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day.
Now, these are the guys that dress up in the Minuteman suits.
Present fire!
Apparently, they also drink.
Now, first game, there'll be about 12 of them. By the playoffs, there's like 40 of them.
Well, it's a great seat. Yeah. I mean, you get to watch the game from the end line.
Right, okay.
Today's... In light of our argument about the cinnamon sticks that Mike ate six of the nine that came, is Cinnamon Bandit. That's a cinnamon bandit. And the sentence, as an example, is Pablo is a cinnamon bandit. Why is he going to be Pablo?
Okay. Now, Gary, this is the home opener at Gillette Stadium. You're the director of entertainment. Any any surprises for the fans, flyovers, anything that they should be looking for this
that.
Game?
No.
Now, why do you have to do that?
Yes, there will be a flyover.
And what kind of plane will it be?
F-15s.
Wow. Prop. any special entertainment we should be looking forward to?
We have a big Army reenlistment ceremony pregame.
Great.
Anything fun?
Yeah, the team's going to be playing.
No live bands? Now,
I heard,
now in the plaza, though, I don't know if you're involved with this, in the plaza outside the lighthouse area, there's going to be a live band, I heard, before the game. Is that not true?
Which live band?
I don't know. But I heard there's going
just
to be
like
all
some
kinds
high school
of
kid or something?
Gary, you know anything about that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Do we, are we,
maybe I'll ask somebody in finance.
Don't they usually give, don't they usually give stuff away on the home opener?
This is the one
like
topic
stuff?
That you really can't make fun of Gary.
Yeah. Know anything about that? No?
He's walking away now.
I think he's coming
in. I think he's
going to
come in and kill
you.
Punch you
in the back of the head.
Bang! Down goes Kirsch.
All right. Lori Baranski's just walked in and handed me a brochure, The Game of the Greats. You heard the commercial with John Hanna during the show. You want to check it out. It's a great way to watch the game. It's a San Francisco game on October 5th. This year's ticket includes entry into the hall at Patriot Place. Tons of alumni, including Ben Coates, the newest Patriots Hall of Famer, Stanley Morgan.
Andre Tippett.
The newest
Pro Football Hall of Famer. John Hanna, Steve Grogan, Steve Nelson. They're
tons
all there. Lori Baranski.
I'll be there.
She's a Hall of Famer, you know, Fred. Classical High School. She is in their Hall of Fame.
I knew you were going to do this. You're just jealous.
What for?
She
what,
has
for
a
what?
Plaque.
I have a plaque.
What did you do? What did you do to earn that?
From cheerleading. I was a cheerleader in high school.
You don't want to know what she did to earn that.
Hey.
The president in detention.
Andy.
The press release has officially gone out. Patriots re-signed tight end Stephen Spock, released Jason Posiak, signed Reggie Hodges to the practice squad, release Dyson DeVree from the practice squad.
Okay.
So that's on Patriots.com now. What else, Lori?
That's it. The tickets are selling fast, so we want people to be able to come and see all their Hall of Famers and the Patriots Hall of Famers. They're going to have their red coats on, and then John Hanna and Andre Tippett will have their gold ones on. So we want people to be able to make
it. So you can touch a Hall of Fame.
The coats are done? Oh, this will be October. What am I talking about?
Yeah. October 5th, Fred.
October 5th, the San Francisco game.
Fred's very distressed.
There's a lot to do.
A lot going on for you, Fred.
Yeah, but it's a good event, and I actually think this is better than last year's.
It's
because
just a
last
fun
year's
fact.
Was the Cowboys game. And that was a huge game, and I think you want to watch that game and not be distracted in any way. This year, the 49ers game, not that interesting or intriguing
right.
of a game. This is a game I'd like to spend with Andre Tippett watching the game, or John Hanna, and talk a little bit between plays and shoot the you-know-what.
This is Andre Tippett. That's not what we're looking for.
So it's $40, Fred?
It's $40 for general
admission. $40, and you also get a ticket to the hall?
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
So that's $10.
What's it cost
right
without the ticket to the hall? 50?
No, but 50, but and you have to talk to Brian Morey for 2 minutes.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Are there couches to watch the games from? Like, what's the comfort level of this event?
Oh.
Are you standing
up?
You can
sit in the bowl if you like, or you can sit wherever you like.
Sit in the bowl and watch on the big screen?
Yes. There's still VIP.
San Francisco is before San Diego, correct?
Yes.
That's too bad.
Too bad?
What do you mean?
Nothing.
What?
It's not it before them in the dictionary.
People won't like this show.
I agree, Gary.
All right. Anyways, get your tickets. They're online, patriots.com.
Is there food
alumni.
Available?
Patriots.com/alumni.
Anyway.
Unless you get a VIP ticket and it's open bar.
How much are VIP tickets?
I thought the VIPs were sold out.
Nope, not yet. We still have a few left. They're 150.
Ho!
As luck would have it, we just had 3 return today.
100.
No. Wow. We have enough.
But concessions will be open, so you can buy a slice of pizza and a beer and watch it with Andre Tippett.
Exactly.
Open bar. That's
and there's
important.
Plenty of raffles and auctions and all that good stuff.
Okay. What can you get time. In the auction?
Well, that's a surprise.
You can take a Hall of Famer home.
I don't know.
It's not finalized yet.
AKA, I don't know.
All right. So tomorrow is Patriots Friday, right? Patriots Friday tomorrow, so we won't be here.
Game fumble ball.
Big game on Sunday, Kansas City Chiefs, Patriots Monday on Monday. We will see you next Tuesday.
About the last 4 minutes.
But first, let's turn it over to Patriots Football Weekly's Andy Hart. Andy?
Thanks, Lori. This is a very explosive team that is big and fast and can score in a large number of ways.